less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, huh? Words should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore.
My well-scrubbed companions, it's 3 minutes and 38 seconds after the hour of 11 in this month of May in the year of our Lord 2007. Thank you for coming along and making it part of your listening day. This is the Rick Emerson radio program put together right here in the United States by a collection of robots. It is Friday, and welcome to day 12. We're going to begin playing that speech every single day. We're going to play it long enough, loud enough, and hard enough that it doesn't bother me anymore. That's what we're going to play it every single day.
We're going to play it long enough so you can memorize it.
It no longer sickens me. It is 503-733-2970 if you'd like to join our program today with your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your corrections, your, I don't know, your confessions of love for Bill Pullman, whatever. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Later on, I'm not going to pretend this is the whole thing we're going to do. But Sarah discovered some, this is totally a coincidence. Sarah discovered some list of the cheesiest moments in the history of films. And as much as we tend to avoid at this iteration of the program, it's sort of listy type things, it is pretty great, and I'm going to give away number one right now. Number one, Bill Pullman's speech from Independence Day.
There you go.
Bam! In your face. Number one, Bill Pullman's speech from Independence Day. Cheesiest moment in the history of films.
And it has it written out word for word.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It is not terrible.
It is terrible.
It is moving.
All right, whatever you say. Are you also, you also cry at Hallmark commercials?
There's one that I cry at. when the mother and the daughter are estranged, and then, you know, they don't know it's the mother and the father, or the daughter and the father, and they're estranged, and they don't talk at all, and then, you know, they avoid each other, and then she leaves to drive off to go back to her college or wherever, and then her the present that he gives her starts ringing, and it's the phone saying that he loves her.
Okay. You're freaking me out right now.
That one makes me sad.
503-733-2970. You don't even know who your senators are. 503-733.
Thanks for making me feel crazy.
No, I'm just saying. That's okay. I can name all 33 Kiss albums in order. I won't do it now. 503. I probably can't do it anymore. I used to be able to. There was a time when I could name every single Kiss release in order, and I could. I used to be able to do the same thing with Alice Cooper too, and he has like 50 albums. Can't do it anymore. That's a skill that's atrophied in my brain. It's withered away. 503-733-2970 on this Friday. If you want to email us, by God, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick at rickemerson.com. I don't know that we'll get a chance to do the rest of the list. Is that hideous? What is that cheesy movie scene? Is that hideous? If you don't kiss me right now, I'm going to scream. You know, that whatever that movie is where she starts screaming the trailer?
No, I don't think the movie was well known enough. I don't know. I only...
Where she has some tumor, like an acorn inside of her head, and then she's crying in a car with a boy and a thing?
No, I don't know. This is, the honorable mention is, I know now why you cry.
Oh, yeah. Is it cheesiest or corniest?
Cheesiest.
I know now why you cry. But it's something I can never do. Come on, that's great. All right, 503-7... I'm sorry, it'd be better if it had Harvey Firestein being blown up somewhere.
I've been trying to get you to do this for like 2 months, so I have to go and try to find this again.
All right. It is Friday. It's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to call in with your random observations, things that make no sense, non sequiturs that have no point, tedious observations that have no tangential connection whatsoever with the rest of our programming, Scotty J will just pass your comments along, and he'll put you on the phone right here without so much as even a cursory screening. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email us. It is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Now, I'm not entirely and totally unprepared today, but I am somewhat unprepared. I would say that I'm about 80% prepared. I have things not aggregated. Whatever the opposite of... is it segregated? No. No, that's the opposite of integrated. Well, whatever the opposite of aggregated is. I don't even really know if those three words have a relation to one another. Aggregated, segregated, integrated. Aggregated, that may just be some sort of a linguistic coincidence. It may have no, it may share no common root with the other words. I don't care enough to investigate it, though.
Did you not eat again?
I didn't eat. No. This week, I'm not eating before the show. It's an exciting experiment. Now, this week, I'm having my normal amount of caffeine, but I'm having no food before the program this week. Today is the last day of the experiment, and we're going to assess at the end of the program exactly how that worked out for me. I've learned lately that when I eat before the program, I feel kind of sluggish. I feel kind of not slow as such, but I don't feel like my mental acuity is what it might otherwise ideally be. I feel like perhaps my mental sharpness is not altogether there. So it's what my wife would call carb fatigue or something. So I feel like sometimes, because, you know, the typical deal is that I'll eat it around 9:30 or so. Because my whole day, my schedule is just completely effed anyway, because I have a meal at 9:30 and then I have another one at like 4. And I don't know which of those is breakfast and which of those is dinner. And if that means I'm having like a second dinner later if I eat at like 8 o'clock. So my food intake is all messed up. But I feel lately when I come in, my brain is as sharp as a bowling ball. And so this whole week I've had this exciting experiment of no food before I come on the program. And I do feel like it has, quickened and sharpened and honed my mental prowess. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up today, ladies and gentlemen. We will be joined in the studio by Aaron Geek in the City Duran, who's got an exciting, fun-filled, action-packed review of Pirates of the Caribbean 3. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever the subtitle is. Pirates of the Caribbean 3, the obligatory ending to a tedious franchise. What else? We'll do the top five songs from 1977. And that is the top five songs, not according to Joel Whitburn's Billboard chart, because I forgot my Joel Whitburn today. Joel Whitburn is sort of like when you say your Webster's or when you say your Black's Law. These are specialized dictionaries. Joel Whitburn is a guy, he's sort of a Craig Adams kind of guy. He's one of those guys who made his entire career just putting out books of lists of the Billboard Top 40 for like the last 57 years or whatever it is. I left my copy of Joel Whitburn's the Billboard chart list at home. So I had to go on the internet and look it up by hand. Anyway, so today, because it is the 30th anniversary of the release of Star Wars, we will do the top five songs, in the opinion of the Rick Emerson Show, the top five songs released 30 years ago this year. The top five songs released in 1977. These are songs that charted, by the way. These are the top five singles released in 1977. We'll do that. I had intended to do the top five songs from this exact date to celebrate the Star Wars anniversary. So you will not be hearing Sir Duke by Stevie Wonder today. And more is the pity, unless Scotty happens to have it sitting around. What else do we have? We'll talk again to Cross Country Nate, who 1 week from today sets out for adventure, traveling across the continental United States with his girlfriend and son. I think as we left him yesterday, and I think he was in... I don't have it. Where? We left him yesterday. He was in Rapid City. which is in Iowa, I believe. Home of the world's largest, if somewhat disappointing, Cheeto. So we'll talk to Cross Country Nate today, and we'll figure out where he goes after Iowa. Really, where do you go after Iowa?
Cities in South Dakota.
That's what I meant, South Dakota. Is South Dakota where Mount Rushmore is?
It's one of those Dakotas.
It's somewhere out there. It's one of those states that none of us has any plans to ever visit. All right. Don't miss Fargo, by the way. They have a Fargo, I think they have some. It's like a Mickey Mantle or somebody. They have this. They have a museum. They have a baseball player museum that's inside a strip mall. And I swear to God, it is the highlight of their town. You go there, that's the first thing they want to show you. You go to Fargo, they can't wait to take you to a strip mall and have you see this, the museum for, I think it is, it might be Mickey, maybe it's not Mickey Mantle. It might be somebody else. Roger Maris, that's who it is. There's a Roger Maris Museum in Fargo, inside a strip mall. They were so excited for me to see that, that when I got there, they came and they woke me up at my Fargo hotel, which really was plushly appointed. I will say this, the hotel I stayed at in Fargo was fantastic. Because really, I mean, I think they have to try every trick they can possibly pull to get people to come to that place. But they came and they woke me up at my hotel in Fargo at like 6 a.m. and they dragged me to a strip mall, which was not yet open. And so I was standing outside in like 4-degree weather with my my hands cupped around my eyes, my face pressed against the glass, looking into the darkened strip mall so I could vaguely see the outline of the Roger Maris Museum that lurked within. Anyway, so we'll talk to Cross Country Nate. No pressure. Scotty J co-hosts Miles Around with Dennis Pitzenbarger tomorrow, 9 to 11. 9 to 11, my friends. Dennis Pitzenbarger hosting the program formerly known as The Fuel Show, now known as Miles Around, 2 hours of automotive talk, co-hosted by Scotty J. So we'll talk about that a little bit. We'll find out what Scotty has planned for his co-hosting duties tomorrow. We will announce the Glorious Bastard of the Week. I meant to do that yesterday. We'll do it today. We'll Glorious Bastard of the Week. And plus, we'll tell you how you can win tickets to Body Worlds 3 at OMSI. Body Worlds 3 at OMSI. Giveaways begin next week for that, I think. Well, they begin soon. The point is we're going to be giving away some passes. It's a very special passes. For Body Worlds 3 at OMSI. So be listening for that. And that's pretty much it. That's the lay of the land. That's where we are. That's how it is. That is the state of things today, my friends. We'll do introductions and teases here in just a second. People are calling for no randomly... Hi, hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Al.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Rick, how are you?
I'm dandy. How can I help you, Al?
Nice information about Fargo, by the way.
Fargo is a... I'm not going to say it's a terrible place because the people there were really great. I will never be mean to the people of Fargo. They were a good people, and I had like a 40 share there. So I can never... I can't be too... But I'm telling you, that place will kill you. I mean, not physically. It'll just kill you inside. You'll be dead for many days. Yeah, you won't know it. You won't know you're dead.
Kind of like the wonderful Vancouver. Anyway, I just didn't want you to forget the great quote from Dirty Dancing, nobody puts baby in the corner.
That's a terrible moment, but it's not really, that's a terrible quote, but it's not so much a terrible moment as it is just a terrible quote. If we're going to talk about terrible, cheesy movie moments.
Hey, you're right, I'll be listening.
That's just like way ahead of me at every turn. All right, thank you, Al.
You bet.
All right, there you go, that's Al. I'm just saying there's a moment is different from a quote. There's all kinds of terrible movie quotes. I mean, if we're talking about terrible cringe-inducing moments, that's got to go on a little longer. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
It's Hal.
Hey, Hal. Really? Hold on. Did we have Al followed by Hal?
Yep, it's me.
This is a thing that talk radio hosts do, by the way, and I'm not going to... This is. If you've ever worked in radio, you know that this is true. People, the human mind spots patterns in things. Like, that's why when you look in the clouds, you see faces, you know, and stuff. And the human mind sees patterns where they don't necessarily... Where they don't exist, but you discern patterns where others might not. Here's the thing that talk radio hosts do. We have this call screening software that puts up the names of callers and people who are waiting to get on the show. And every person who works in radio amuses themselves by noticing strange patterns that appear on the call screening software. Like Al and Hal, or when three guys named John call together. I swear to God, one time, and in Salt Lake City, appropriately enough, one time I was looking at the call screening software, and I swear to God, on hold, I had Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I wanted to take a photograph of it. That was like 12 years ago. I looked up the screen, and I said, coming up on the program, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then I just stopped, and my whole brain just sort of vibrated in my head for a minute. It was weird, man. All right, what do you got?
Well, I got a question about a movie that you were talking about a couple weeks ago Trust.
Trust, Hal Hartley, yes.
I went to my local video store and...
What video store was that?
It was a Video Lair in Selwood.
I'm very familiar with that place, yes.
They had a copy of Trust the Man, but not Trust.
Trust? So the Hal Hartley film, I'm pretty sure it is out on DVD. I would hate to think that it's not. Now, I have to be honest, my copy of it comes from... it was on cable a while back, and so I just burned it on the DVD and kept it. If I were you, I would recommend... if you want to rent it, I would recommend Mike Clark's movie Madness on 41st and Belmont.
Okay.
If they don't have it, then it can't be had.
So it's Trust. It's just Trust.
It's just called Trust. It's it stars Adrian Shelley. That's how you'll know. It stars Adrian Shelley. It's called Trust.
It's by Hal Hartley.
It is a Hal Hartley film. Try Mike Clark's movie Madness. And like I said, if they don't have it, you can't find it because that place got everything.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, you will not regret it. I swear to God. One of the best romantic comedies ever made. Ever, ever, ever. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you?
Hey, what's up, Rick?
What's up? What do you got?
Hey, I got a stupid movie moment.
Okay.
How about when Will Smith punches the alien in that dumbass movie?
I have a theory that 90% of all stupid movie moments can be found inside Independence Day, which is, in fact, the worst major studio motion picture ever made.
Either that or just with Will Smith in it.
No, I mean... Don't even get me started on the fact I was bitching about this to Sarah the other day.
Who's gonna have the balls to punch an alien?
You can't. And the alien is wearing like some weird protective exosuit too. It's wearing
doesn't even affect him.
No, it doesn't make any sense. And don't even get me started on this. Thank you, sir. Don't even get me started on the fact. As I was noting to Sarah the other day, and as I noted at the time when the movie came out 12 years ago, I can't even get, you can't even get a Macintosh to work with Windows, much less with alien goddamn technology. The idea that somehow you can write a computer virus on, like, your home computer, and it'll work with a computer from some other solar system.
Well, your whole thing about why they didn't make a sequel, Aaron actually made a really good point. He sent me an email about it. They didn't make a sequel because we won the sequel. It would just been one fat party with Jazzy Jeff looking for a job. Use some logic, Rick. Pretty soon you want seatbelts on motorcycles.
I'm just saying. Those aliens looked real. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Blah, 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 blah.
I am going and renting Independence Day after the show. Or maybe I'll go to CD Game Exchange and buy it.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Arsonists just want to have fun. That's the motive behind those three fun seekers who allegedly torched all those cars in the southeast. A woman rolls a car 8 times in Canby and lives. A man and his dog are trapped for 3 hours in their overturned logging truck. The dog's okay. Go Raiders! The final words of a man on death row.
That's the sort of backhandedly creepy story that you specialize in. A man and his dog are trapped in a logging truck for 3 hours. Pause. The dog's okay. And then you just move on. Then you just blithely move on. Am I to infer? No. Implot? No. Infer. Wait. My brain isn't fully working today. Am I to infer from your implication that the dog is okay, but the man perhaps fared poorly?
Well, you'll have to join us at noontime to find out.
That's the right answer. See? That was the alley followed by the youth.
I resist the tease doesn't work anymore.
Hey, Rick.
Hi. Hello.
I was just kind of... I'm kind of surprised you don't like Independence Day, not because it's...
Are we really talking about a movie that came out 12 years ago this much, Rick, this week? Okay, go ahead.
Let's hear me out. Independence Day is the most American movie ever made, and I can justify this.
All right.
There's that shot towards the beginning where there's, you know, just thousands of people dying and everything. But the whole focal point of the moment is the dog going to live?
No, that is true. Somebody else notes that there's been an alien invasion of planet Earth, but the stripper still has to get to work. There's this whole thing. Is the stripper going to make it to the pole? Yeah.
Then there's the hippies and all the people who are greeting the aliens as they arrive.
It's
the people who don't, you know, mistrust and fear them. They're all killed immediately.
It is. I will say this. I know that the big controversy about the movie is when the White House got blown up, and I didn't really care about that so much.
Yeah.
Because to me, that was a less powerful version of when the priest gets killed in the original War of the Worlds. I will say it was really satisfying when all the hippies and the crystal gazers got blown up by the aliens. That was pretty great. That was worth it.
Sorry.
Now go ahead.
Last thing is there's the shot where they're sending out the message with the plan about how they're going to disarm all the aliens.
Yeah.
And you see the guys in England, and they're just sitting there. The Americans have a plan. So it's about bloody time. Find that the entire rest of the world is just sitting on their hands.
Because that's what we do when it comes to fighting off when it comes to fighting off and repelling invasions and other enemies. We're proven really good at that. Yeah,
hoping to. Finally, it's a movie without irony. There's no self awareness at all in the movie. That is why it's the most American of all American movies.
Well, perhaps. I don't know that I can really argue with that. Although, to be fair, I've tried so hard with everything in me to never see any frame of that movie again that perhaps I'm not well versed enough in it. I will also give it this tiny, tiny little bit of praise that it employed Randy Quaid. And I can never truly, truly hate somebody who gives Randy Quaid a job.
Well, there you go.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Have a good one.
There you go. And Bill Pullman, though, I will say this. Bill Pullman does look exactly like the kind of guy who would be elected president. Bill Pullman is exactly, I mean, he has no personality of his own, seems to have no real core belief system, mouths a lot of things that don't really mean much, but they kind of sound good. He's kind of attractive in a sort of vague Presbyterian white man kind of way. I mean, the actual Bill Pullman could probably be elected tomorrow. That really is true. All right. It's 503-733-2970. I had some other observations to make. Oh, we got Lisa Goddard, who's going to be coming up at the bottom of the hour. She's going to be talking about, it doesn't matter. It's Lisa Goddard. She's going to be talking about some stuff. You'll take it. You'll like it. What else? I'm just going to read. This is the 20% of the show that I did not get prepared. Because I have some things put into various piles here, but within the piles, they haven't been sorted. I got a lot of email about the Doritos that we had yesterday. We had the meat-flavored Doritos.
Those are good.
I don't know, man. I felt really sick later.
Well, you ate the entire bag in, like, 5 minutes.
That's the thing, is I'm unclear about whether it's because of the flavor or the beef. That's beef with a pH that's in those, or whether it's because I just ate the whole bag and I don't eat a lot of junk. I mean, I eat some junk food, but I eat a lot. I don't eat fast food. I do eat some junk food, but I don't typically eat like just a whole bag of Doritos. And it was the big bag. Rick, I happened to stop at a grocery store after your talk about Doritos X13D, and I picked up a bag to give them a try. I'd like to report that they taste like ass, but I can't. They're much worse than that. They taste like, wait for it, fish sticks. He said, I kid you not, they taste like fish sticks. Like Doritos aren't one of the trashiest snack foods around already. They must have been thinking, how can we sell even more inedible crap to the poor and stupid? I know, let's combine our already terrible and trashy chips with the trashiest entree in the world. These Doritos should sell well in their trailer parks. I was able to eat two of them. The rest of the bag is sitting on my desk till I can find a hazmat suit so I can get near enough to dispose of them. Also, there's a graphic on the bag that looks like a hand notation that says, All American Classic. And, you know, and here's, by the way, and here is the thing that I love about our audience. The thing I love about our audience, because the audience and I share this trait. We here on the program share this trait with the people who listen. A totally disproportionate sense of anger about things. I mean, really, there are real problems in this world that I typically, on a daily basis, don't get that exercised about. But I will just get absolutely, completely angry, all out of proportion, about just tiny, tiny little perceived slights. And that's what makes this audience so great. We've got this signed, goddamn fish stick Doritos. I hope the people responsible for this rot in hell. Sean in Salem. Thank you, Sean. That is the prototypical Rick Emerson listener email. God bless you, sir. We'll break in like 10 seconds. A final quick email, then we break. We come back with Lisa Goddard. Hello, sir.
Did you know there's a movie in 1974, Randy Quaid was in?
I don't know. What's the movie?
Midnight Express. Did you know he was in?
Oh, yeah, movie Midnight Express with, not Thanks. Timothy Hutton, but... hit and run. Who is the guy in that? Do we have to break?
Yes, we have one at somebody at 11:30.
Let me understand this. We have to break?
Mm-hmm.
pretty impressive. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, we have... the hell do we have? Oh, Aaron Geek in the City Duran is going to be joining us. Today's top five singles released in 1977 to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Star Wars. Dennis Pitzenberger is going to join us to pile more pressure onto the bony, narrow shoulders of Scotty J. We'll be co-hosting Miles Around tomorrow, 9 to 11 a.m. But ladies and gentlemen, put all that aside, or as Kathy Moriarty would say in Matinee, George, maybe I can love you and put the insect aside. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Hill, CNN Radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. Why, hello and welcome to Friday.
Well, thank you so very much. Hello.
And are you celebrating the 30th anniversary of the release of Star Wars in any way?
I just saw that. I've got no plans. I got to get on that.
Yeah. Don't feel. I'm not celebrating it. Don't feel like you have to.
I don't know.
I'm only asking because I know the audience cares about such things, but it's not anything that needs to be celebrated. Let me ask you
this.
Are
you saying you don't care? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying, this is like that Indiana Jones 4 thing. You ask me if I care about the 30th anniversary of Star Wars, and
right,
immediately I feel my internal processors beginning to grind and groan underneath the weight of all the thoughts that enter my head.
Because, we are at odds right now because, as a Capitol Hill journalist, I'm just got to spring into action when I smell controversy.
It's not controversy so much as it is just like, how do I even begin to untangle? And does anybody even care at this point about if I entangle my various myriad conflicting feelings about George Lucas and Star Wars? It's just, it's all well-traveled territory at this point. It's well-traveled ground.
That is true.
Blah, blah, blah. George Lucas raped my childhood. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Great films. I'm going to sum it up this way.
Yeah.
And this is how I'm going to say it. I'm going to sum it up. There's a friend of mine, my friend Chris, the MySpace, this guy Mailman Chris, the official postal delivery person of the Rick Emerson radio program.
Mailman Chris, all right.
And on his MySpace page, there's that who do you wish to meet, who I'd like to meet, and he puts, I want to meet George Lucas, and his reasoning is this, and this sums up the entire thing. He says, I want to meet George Lucas, to thank him for creating the greatest science, greatest sci-fi franchise in the history of the world, and B, to kick him right in the junk for ruining it. I mean, that's it. That's the dichotomy.
That covers it.
Of Star Wars right there. So,
well, you've taken me from 60 to 0 in 10 seconds, so that's good. On Star Wars. I was all into it. Now I'm done.
Well, never mind. Well, now I feel bad that I've managed to... That's actually pretty impressive that I could completely destroy and debilitate the momentum in one fell swoop like that.
It's true.
Hey, let me ask you this before we plunge on ahead into immigration, because that's really going to perk the call up a whole lot. Are you a Douglas Adams fan at all?
A what fan?
A Douglas Adams fan. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and so forth.
You know, from afar, from very afar, just a vague fan. I'm not very, very involved.
Does that mean you walked by it at one point at a Borders? Or?
there was a very large following in my high school. A bunch of my friends were into it. I didn't jump on.
Were you?
I know about the number 42. That's about as far as I go.
Well, that's okay. Really, that's a good solid start. In hiking parlance, that's a good solid toehold from which you can progress. Let me ask you this real quickly. In high school, would you say that you were more of a journalism dork or a drama nerd?
So sad. I was both in theater and on the yearbook.
Well, no, see, that's great. That's okay. That's perfectly acceptable here at the Rick. Here at the Rick Emerson Show, it's a big tent. We don't laugh at such things. All right. Let's move on ahead and talk about immigration, and which is really only a tunnel that's going to get us to the promised land of gas talk. Because as Sarah knows, I love to talk about the price of gasoline.
Right.
Sarah's giving me what my dad would call the stink eye
right
now.
Let's talk more about gas.
I'm just saying it's a relatable topic. It's,
exactly.
It's what people care about. So it says here that they have made, quote, progress towards passing the immigration measure, and they see no amendments that will derail the bill. Is this true?
That's the caveat there. But what people are saying is we think we're going to get this tiger or sucker, whatever you want to call it, through the Senate. But no one is talking yet about what it looks like in the House, because the House is a real rocky road for this immigration bill right now.
And I guess my question to you is, at some point, I mean, it seems like Americans sort of are pragmatic in the sense that they know something's got to be done, right? They know that we can't.
Right.
Like, it's not.
They're angry, yes,
yeah,
right.
I mean, and we got to do something to sort of stem the tide of illegal immigrants. On the other hand, we can't just be reasonably expected to round up 12 million people and kick them out of the country. That's just not going to happen. At some point, though, it seems, how do I put this? This seems strangely peaceful and bipartisan. I guess that's how I want to put it. I mean, obviously there are people who are sort of dissenters from this, but it doesn't really seem like this is creating the firestorm that you would think that something that has so many, it's so many concentric circles. It's got the economy, it's got race, it's got language, it's got, sort of geopolitical instability. It seems very, like there's a sort of strange amount of agreement. So at some point, is this just going to become a giant conflagration, or is the progress going to be pretty smooth on this?
What's so fascinating, I think, about this bill is that it does reach across party lines, both the agreement and disagreement. I think you're exactly right. But the fact is that there are, it almost feels split, the number of voices who say, yeah, we got to get this through, and those who say, no way, it is too terrible, I can't support it. But the fact is, those who can't support it each have different reasons, different pieces that they don't like and they object to. And once each of them launches those individual fights, and most of them are losing or compromising in some way, then most of them will sign on to the rest of the bill, it seems, because I think the theory in the Senate is that if they pass nothing, it will be worse for them than passing this bill. But, of course, those who oppose the bill say, no, nothing would be better. We think this bill makes things a lot worse. You're right. There is a strange amount for Washington of bipartisan agreement and bipartisan disagreement clumped together, and that's what makes this bill sort of strange. But don't underestimate the amount of disagreement over this bill on both sides of the aisle, and I think that's what we're going to really see in the House. Maybe everyone will kumbaya it. I don't know, but I think the House is really going to be some very tricky waters for this bill.
Let me ask you this: Is there a financial upside to the United States for this bill to be passed as you see it? In other words, a lot of this is going to take money to implement. On the other hand, you could argue that maybe we'll be able to spend fewer dollars rounding up and kicking out the people that we do manage to catch every year. On the third hand, it's going to allow people who are already here illegally to perhaps continue to work. But on the fourth hand, they're going to have to be paid more than they're being now. Is this going to end up just being a huge financial boondoggle for the country, or are we actually going to save money with this?
That is actually a story I'm working on for next week. For one, this bill doesn't list any of the costs. It doesn't estimate. It only estimates, I think, two separate costs associated, and they're very small issues, like the unmanned aerial surveillance plane that they want. They want four of them. Just that is going to cost $500 million, and that's one of the very few things that's estimated. So we don't know what the cost of the bill is. The bill does say that the cost of processing illegal immigrants into a path to citizenship and also processing the guest workers, that there must be a process fee to cover that. So the idea is that would be revenue neutral. Who knows if it would really be. You get into some really almost philosophical debate as to the net gains and net losses for the country here. There are some who say the guest worker program, if it's too big, is going to drive wages down, and that's going to be a problem, that it's going to hurt the middle class and kind of bring everybody down. There are others who say that these are the people who come to America and they make it through the many hoops in this bill are precisely the kind of immigrants that will have innovation, that will ultimately boost the economy by a huge amount. And you can't capture that. You can't put your finger on how much that's going to help America, but that's what people argue. So it really becomes a philosophical debate.
All right, I will curtail the rest of my questions. We'll do this in one of the many thousands of days in the future when we talk about this.
Yes, true.
So I can move on to this.
For every day on the immigration bill.
As part of CNN Radio's Gas Price Watch, it says, Lisa Goddard reports that Congress is making promises it can't keep.
Are they
passing some law? They're mouthing that they're going to pass some law, some crap about how they're going to outlaw price gouging or whatever, gas gouging. Is that something they're really going to do? Is that just a soundbite they put out there to try to placate the idiot masses?
You know, this story that I did for today actually came from, I've been thinking about it for more than a year. It really drove me crazy last year when it was especially Republicans, because they were in power at the time, were coming out with all of these ideas for saying, hey, we're going to save you gas money. We care about prices at the pump. We're going to help consumers. And at one point, one of the ideas was, we're going to give every consumer in America, every driver, $100 rebate for gas prices. And I remember I went to that news conference and I said, you've got to be kidding me. This is going to go nowhere, but you all are pretending like this is a real idea. I bet you wouldn't even support this idea, the sponsors of the idea, if it came up for a vote. And it really is true that what's happening now every spring, as driving season starts and as we go through the cycles, the refinery cycles, that we see gas prices go up. Now, they're at a record level now. They're at a higher level than they've ever been, but they will continue potentially to break those records. So every spring when this happens, we're seeing Congress come out, whoever's in charge, say, oh, this is terrible. Gas prices are this high. They're that high. Here's what Congress is going to do about it. And the truth is that Congress has very little ability to affect short-term prices. I asked Harry Reid, I believe it was 2 days ago, when they had a news conference unveiling the Democratic Energy Plan, and they, again, kept coming back to gas prices, even though their energy plan really is much more broad and affects many more areas than just gas prices, but that's their hook. And I said, how are you really going to bring gas prices down in the short term? He said, well, our anti-price gouging measure is certainly going to affect it. But the trick is, how do you define price gouging?
That was
going
to be my next question. Is to color me stupid, but right. what does price gouging even mean? Because it seems to me, and I don't mean to be oversimplifying this, but it does seem to me, and Sarah and other, but my wife also accuses me of just being contrarian when it comes to the gas price thing. But you know what? The prices of crap goes up. Stuff is more expensive than it used to be. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, they charge you as much as you'll pay, and as long as you continue to pay for something, they'll continue to raise the price until you don't buy it anymore. And stuff is more expensive than it used to be. I mean, that goes for everything. That goes for a loaf of bread. So I don't understand what price gouging even means, really.
It's a very tricky bill. It would, one of the main things that this Democratic bill would do is it would give the FTC the power to enforce this anti-price gouging law, which could be important, but the FTC generally would interpret what price gouging is. In the bill, it says it's a very broad definition. It says it's a price that is substantially above the what they refer to basically as the market level. It's a little more complicated than that. But who knows what the market level is? And so you get into a couple issues here then. Do you think that gas prices everywhere are too high? And in that case, it's not really price gouging. That might be collusion, which is a whole other issue that the Senate is also looking at these issues of the mergers and our gas and oil companies colluding to create this artificially high level of prices. That's a separate issue, and if that could be proven, then perhaps Congress could take action and maybe you would see gas prices go down, maybe. But price gouging is so very tricky to prove, and you just by definition, you can't prove price gouging nationally because you're talking about a market level. So
I suppose. I mean, I'm not going to...
The average is the average. The average isn't above average.
That's what I'm saying. If everybody's doing it, it's not above average. It is the average. And I'm not going to... I will not, because I've already done this once this week, and when I do it, there's sections of the audience that just explode with apoplectic anger at me. So I will not roll out the whole business about how gallon-for-gallon bottled water is more expensive than gas, but I will say this. I will say that a bottle of water costs like 4 cents to make, and that they can charge... You know, they can make a bottle of... a bottle of Aquafina. They can make... It's water. It's just goddamn tap water. The fact that they can make a bottle of Aquafina for like 9 cents and sell it for $2, and all bottled water costs about $2. So if what they're doing with gas is collusion and price gouging, then making a bottle of water for 9 cents and selling it for $2 is also price gouging and collusion, because it all costs the same.
But separately, Congress could pass laws to set the prices for the gas industry if there's that much concern, if we think that energy prices are crippling the economy, or if Congress thought that the energy market was taking advantage of, you know, some kind of supply-demand issue so that it had extreme profits. Congress could pass a windfall profit tax, and that idea has come up before, but it's seen generally as dangerous because if you get into a bad energy slump, then you've got disincentive to energy businesses. So what's happening now is the energy industry has got almost a perfect storm. It's got low supply, high demand, and it's got a Congress that is very nervous about the energy future and isn't going to put down windfall profit taxes, which is one of the few things it could really do to kind of cut down those profits for that industry. My point is that it just, when you hear politicians saying, we're going to deal with gas prices, we're going to get those gas prices down, well, maybe in 5 years, if we change how we deal with energy, if we become more efficient and cleaner about our energy use, but certainly not this year, as some Democrats now and Republicans last year have been promising.
All right, as we head into the weekend, my final question for you, Independence Day, thumbs up or thumbs down?
The movie?
The film.
Wow, so long. Thumbs up at the time. Now, upon reflection, I'm not so sure.
All right, thank you. That's probably the best answer you can give. You have threaded that needle perfectly, whether you knew it or not. All right, Lisa Goddard, thank you, sister.
All right.
Enjoy your weekend. There you go. Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Could she have given a more perfect answer to that?
It was a good answer.
Loved it at the time. Not so much now. Who knows? That's what I'm saying. One of many reasons why she is almost
your hero?
Flawless. Not my hero, but she is. Oh, I'm sorry, Scott. I didn't even see this. Scotty, I apologize. Was this a call we actually had for Lisa? I'm sorry, that's my fault. Well, let's say hi. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. I'm not Lisa Goddard, but I can wear a pair of Prada shoes while we talk. Okay, thanks so much. 503-733-2970. Yes, Scotty. Yes.
Good job, Scotty.
Yeah. Good screening, Scotty. Well done. Hey, speaking of Scotty J, if we can just now with the full-on... is my computer turned up? Well, what the hell?
Yes.
Oh, you know what? It's not turned up over here. Is it turned up where you are? It's not turned up where I am.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to that,
Scott! Beans up, Scotty.
End of message.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Scotty J, our intrepid PA. Why, hello, Scotty, and how are you today?
Good morning.
Hey, by the way,
and everybody, Tim.
You quit talking.
Why not?
You've got to, first of all, you should know that these files you keep insisting you put in the folder are not showing up. They're not there. So.
Even as an MP3?
Well, okay. Well, as an MP3, I suppose. I thought you were going to
have them as MP3.
Waves so that they could be. Okay, we're fine. All right. So. Sarah, remember when Scotty was telling us the other day that he was in a band once upon a time with some other youths? So, guess what I hold in my hand now?
What do you hold in your hand?
Now, you can't see what I'm holding here, but it is it's a homemade CD. Your band was called Vital Signs. The album is called Disturbing the Peace.
And that's exactly what we did.
Cool. December 8th, this is a live CD.
Yes, and...
Did you have a studio recording ever? Did you, like, ever record...
No, and I wish we did, because this was...
Because you were just that good?
2 days after a party of just screaming and yelling, no voice, couldn't reach high notes. It was just... It's like you're all...
Right. So this is a live album from Scotty J's band, Vital Signs.
That's really... A cool guitar on the front.
December 18th, 1988.
I wish the music went along with the cover.
Yeah, the cover, this is like really obviously printed on a home computer. Maybe.
Well, look at the year, you know?
1988. No, I understand. It's
88.
It's a product of its times. There's some bad clip art of an electric guitar on a weird, swirly, psychedelic background. All right, now, here's the thing.
It's horrible.
Yeah, I know. I haven't even listened to it, and I know it's horrible. Here's the thing. Which of these songs do you feel is the best recorded? In other words, I know it's a relative thing because it's live. Where's the sound quality? What song will give us the best sense of what it sounded like to be in the room, Scotty, with your band, Vital Signs?
Probably number 10 for now.
Day Tripper?
Here's the problem.
Are these all clean?
Oh, yeah. It was just recorded by a boombox, you know, cassette recorder in a room with no microphone. It was bad.
All right. So this is... So you are the lead vocals here?
Yeah.
Anybody else on these we'd know?
Any of the other people in this band?
No. Just you?
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, my brother and his friend, a good friend of mine.
Your Assless Chaps brother?
Yes.
What does he do? What's he doing in the band?
He's the bass. You know, various different songs on the album all play keyboards.
Are you going to hand that to me?
So the vocals here are Scotty J. There you go.
Yeah, we've actually got it on
our computer. Hold on. This is Scotty J. This is Scotty J's band Vital Signs with their take on the Beatles' Day Tripper. Recorded live, 1988. At the Forum. strange arrangement of the song. That's not bad.
Somebody else?
It's not too bad,
if this
actually
is not too bad, then it gets worse. I mean, and here's our little lick that we put in there, you know. We put our own little...
All right. Yes, let's insert a wipeout into the middle of Day Tripper.
Yes,
it's weird. You're doing like a weird Live at Budokan drum fill in the middle of Day Tripper for no real reason. All right, well, let's continue here. Let's listen. All the needles are just in the red on this. I can just sense it.
Scotty, where are your vocals? This is the best representation of your singing.
Oh, I have some other songs.
Hold on. You're just starting the song over.
Jesus. We all didn't feel too good when this was recorded.
It's got a certain raw energy that I like. I have to. I mean that sincerely. I'm not screwing with you. It's got a certain... You're not a terrible singer. This is not as bad as I thought it would be. Now, obviously, the recording quality is not that great, but that's okay. I can hear past that. I've listened to enough bad four-track music in my life.
And keep in mind, this band practiced for 3 weeks, had one New Year's Eve party, and then we fought and
then broke up. Like the Commitments.
What's this?
Find out.
It's going to get worse. Just what I need is best, I think.
Oh, yeah. I like I like the idea of mixing the guitar way down and just having the bass be the lead instrument. That's an interesting choice. Oh, this is the drum and bass mix only. How old are you here? 20?
20.
Talk dirty to me.
I don't even think we had a mic.
Scotty has a voice.
It's not so bad. It's not.
I thought you were going to hear this in Parker.
You actually made an album out of this?
Oh, yeah. We sold millions of records.
It's not as bad as I thought it would be.
In China, we sold millions of records. They love us over there.
All right. We'll do one more here.
Do just what I need.
I got to hear through the chorus, and then we'll play this into the break. We'll be playing this all day, by the way.
I actually play keyboards on Just What I Need. It's interesting.
What instrument do you play?
Keyboard.
That it?
Yeah.
All right, here.
And
hold
drums
on. We're
going to
hear the hook. Hold on. Well, you're reasonably on key, sort of.
My voice is thrash.
Hold on. Oh, that's great.
Oh,
all right.
Scotty.
We'll play this into the break. We'll play all of these today. We'll play this into the break. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the sounds of Scotty J and his vital signs.
One, two, three.
Oh, really? Do you
was that you, Scotty?
Do you count? Oh, that's genius.
Oh, right. One. A two.
We'll be back after this with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Ladies and gentlemen, Scotty J. E. is the lead singer of Vital Signs.
Two. One, two, three. Shut up. And you're
the Rick Emerson radio program. I expect a Vital Signs fan club to spring up any day now. We're going to be playing the rest of the Vital Signs CD all throughout the day. It'll be like a release party weekend, like when they used to play Use Your Illusion all the way through. right, we'll get some of these calls here in a second. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, will you please put your hands together for the Reverend Tim Riley?
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
It is just want to have fun. Investigators say those three arrested for lighting seven vehicles on fire in Southeast appear to have done it just for fun. Apparently, when police arrived at one torching, they spotted 27-year-old Dennis Pinchillo and 19-year-old Lena Son and the van believed to be connected to the arsons. They began questioning the two and eventually got the evidence they needed to charge them with the crimes.
This is a man and a woman. I'm sorry. This is a man and a woman?
Yes.
Was he carrying a torch for her?
It doesn't... Oh.
Ah! Ah! Zing! Friday. And
there was a chance that the Honda Accord set on fire early Thursday morning is connected to the case because a third suspect, an unnamed juvenile under the age of 15, wasn't taken into custody till later. So they're in jail right now, and they're expected in court today.
I think it's a bunch of crap. I think it is BS that they don't name...
It's not fun?
Did they? No, arson. Well, these people...
It's fun.
I'm not saying arson is fun. Fire is fun. I'll say that. Let's just say that. I'm not telling you to commit arson. I'm simply saying that fire is fun.
We're talking about Southeast Portland.
That's, well, fire is fun and, you know, one of the top three evening activities for people in that demographic. Let me just say this, though. I think it's a bunch of crap when there's some little bastard who goes out and commits a serious crime and they don't reveal his name because he's a juvenile. You know what I mean?
They'll all find out and they'll reveal it.
I mean, it's not like he was stealing jujubes from the general. It's not like he was stealing a bag of whorehound from the general store. Mm-hmm. He was setting cars on fire in Southeast Portland. I want to know his name. I want to know his name, and I want him incarcerated somewhere bad. That's what I want. All right, here's Tim Riley.
An 18-year-old woman survived rolling her car eight times and living to tell. It happened on Highway 170 near Canby. The car rolled eight times before landing on its tires in a tall grassy field near the intersection of Highway 170 and Hines Road. The woman was taken from the car and taken to a manual. She's being treated for injuries that are non-life-threatening. She was wearing a seatbelt.
She was or was not?
Was.
Ah, eight times.
How do they do that?
How do they even tell?
I don't know. Maybe they count it by the rings around the car?
Well, I guess so. There must be some. They must look at the ground or something to figure out what that is. Has anybody here ever been in a car that rolled?
No.
Sarah? Yeah, I was.
Were you driving?
No, I was with an ex-boyfriend. It was terrible.
Was he intoxicated?
No.
How did it happen?
It didn't roll. It rolled on its top. It was one of the... Oh. It was like really... It was horrible.
Were you belted in?
Yeah, I was belted in. I was actually hanging from the upside down. It was freaky. I was in high school.
All right. That's no good.
It sounded like it was upsetting.
Yeah, I don't... Man, I'm not going to go on and on about it because these kind of stories are really only interesting to the people involved. But I will say this. I remember being in high school and a bunch of my friends called me like late at night. They're like, we're all going to go out and party. You want to? We'll come by and pick you up. And I was like, well... Let me think about it. And then I pondered for a second. I'm like, you know, I'm kind of beat. I'm just going to stay here. And, man, they were in, like, whatever, like a Suburban or something. And they rolled that thing, like, 40 times down a cliff. Or not a cliff, but down a hill. Man, just a bunch of broken bones. And somebody had one of those big Motorola cell phones, like one of those brick cell phones. It's like a pebble inside a washing machine. You just gave everybody concussions or whatever. God damn, am I glad that I wasn't in that truck. I'm going to be dead. All right, here's Tim Riley.
A man and his dog spent 3 hours trapped in an overturned logging truck when the vehicle rolled up Highway 36 near the western Oregon town of Blatchy.
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 I can't come into work today. I'm feeling a little blatchy.
41-year-old Wesley Nicholson of Springfield, who works for a company out of Eugene, was seriously injured and taken to the hospital in Eugene. The dog was not injured.
Excellent.
The truck was carrying logs in the crash while attempting to negotiate a curve. The logs broke free.
Oh.
Ooh, I'm glad I wasn't there.
All right.
These things are dangerous. I don't even want to think about it.
I was just going to say, I wasn't aware that this was going to be a log watch, but it doesn't sound like the heebie-jeebies.
Yes.
It gives me the vapors. I wasn't really aware that this was going to be... That's all we'll do. Because the logs didn't hit anybody else, did they?
No.
All right. So even the dog's okay.
Dog's fine.
All right. I went out of my office yesterday. There was a dog in my office. My office upstairs here at CBS Radio.
Was it
after the program, I went upstairs to...
A stray dog?
No. It's figured how to navigate the electronic door system. No, it belongs to one of the women from Movin. Movin 107.5. Our sister station here. But I went up to my office. There was a dog not sitting in my chair, but just sort of like... I just sort of sitting behind my desk. It was sort of unnerving. You walk in and there's a dog behind your desk.
So was it moving?
No, the dog was not moving. No. Hey, you know, I was talking to somebody about that Asia and Tasia, or whatever they are. that morning team that they have in moving? What are they called?
I don't know.
Tigra and Kyle? Kyle and...
Well, they used to be Tasha and...
McCormick?
No, some other white dude. I can't think of their names.
Tasha and white guy?
Yeah, the rep shakers on the TV commercial.
I don't even know where I was going now. I had some observation about,
well, that's
about
what,
that.
That's what I think of every time I hear that station. People shaking their behinds.
Think of
course you're supposed to.
Buttocks
was moving.
Buttocks gyrating enthusiastically. All right. Hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, Rick. How you doing?
What's up?
Are you there?
Let me check.
Ow. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
You know, you were talking to Lisa Goddard about the fuel situation.
Yes.
Back going through the first gas crunch, I was in business with a gentleman, and I did a lot of work. We owned a gas station. They come around, the government come around, because at that point you were only allowed to make like 14 cents a gallon, and there were some dealers that were accused of gouging that. So there's where the gouging come in. They come around and checked, and you know, they give you plenty of warning so we could have a complete false set of books.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
and
pretty
then,
great.
And then when they showed up, the gentleman, I went over and I said, can I have the keys to your car? And he handed them to me and I put it on the rack and we did an oil change, tune up, brand new set of tires, backed it out, handed him his keys. He never offered to pay and we never offered to collect.
So this is, so let me understand this. So A, you effectively bribed the government investigator.
No, there was no bribery.
I'm not saying that.
Nothing was ever said.
No, of course not. I'm saying this, well, how do I put this? He didn't ask and you didn't tell and he got some new tires.
Exactly.
Now, but when you say the government only let you make 14 cents a gallon.
Right, that was the law.
Now, is that
got changed when Mr. Reagan went into office and he took off that price control and made it an open market. And when that did happen, the price did go down.
So is it the case now that if somebody sells gas, if you're running a gas station, you can charge as much as you want?
I could put I don't have a gas station now, but they can put a buck on the gas if they wanted to.
See, that's
what
I mean.
Of course, you know, it's supply and demand. You get too expensive, people won't buy it.
That's what I'm saying. That's as it should be. I mean, I hate to sound all libertarian about it, but I mean, you know, you got something to sell, you should be able to sell it for whatever people are willing to pay.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's records or newspaper or coffee or whatever.
Right.
You know, the price will dictate, you know, people will dictate the price because they won't buy it.
Sounds like we were going to go somewhere really funny there for a minute. All right, and apparently government officials can be bribed, I'm sorry, persuaded with tires. Excellent, thank you.
Well, nothing was ever said.
No, of course not. That would be wrong.
Well,
thank you, Chris.
Take care.
There you go. All right. Let's, one more here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
What do you got, brother?
Hey, I had a couple things real fast. First, I think that you found your new singer for Red Hot Pistol, man.
Oh, yeah, with the Scotty. Here, let me tell you this. Not only do we have an entire live CD from Scotty J's band, Scotty has given me, who do you know that tapes their karaoke performances? The answer would be Scotty J. Let me just, let me share a little bit. Scotty J, ladies and gentlemen.
That's fantastic.
Is this Scotty?
He claims it's him.
That is not how he thinks. That doesn't sound like his voice.
Who tapes
his
karaoke
lying.
Performances?
Scotty J is lying. That is not his voice.
Well, we'll find out.
Hey, Rick.
Can we sing?
Yes. All right.
Hey,
yes?
Yeah, and also, one quick thing. Did you get a chance to check out the new Ozzy Osbourne album?
I did. In fact, if you look at my What's Rick Thinking About section on my website right now, if you go to rickemerson.com and you look in the upper right-hand corner, there's a little thing every day that says, What's Rick Thinking About? Today's What's Rick Thinking About is the new Ozzy Osbourne record, which is called Black Rain, which is fantastic.
That was my opinion,
it's
too.
Really. I could do without the couple power ballads on it, but goddamn, it's a really, really good record.
I was shocked.
It's the best thing he's done, in my opinion, probably since No More Tears or maybe even No Rest for the Wicked. It's really good.
Yep.
I listened to it all night last night. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, there you go. It's so weird. I was just listening to that last night at just ear-splitting volume of my house. This is not the new Ozzy Osbourne record. I don't know
what page you go to that always does.
Oh, is that my thinking music? I'm sorry. Tim was playing thinking music for me. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not one of your web pages.
Let's get back to you.
I'm not sure which one.
Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, a Longview baby will be okay after being dragged by the family pit bull while sitting in a stroller. The parents are getting ready for the evening walk when something startled the pit bull and it took off, pulling the stroller down the street. The 60-month-old baby was taken to the hospital. Witnesses says the baby's head kept hitting the street. It was dragged by two blocks. By
maybe
the
pit bull was taking it for a walk or taking it somewhere to do something exciting or fun. Like be dismembered. So this is where? In Longview?
Yeah.
I thought pit bulls were illegal in most of the country at this point.
This is Longview.
Just where life is cheap. I thought there were a lot of sort of strictures and rules put on where you could own those dogs.
I guess that they're okay with children.
No, they're misunderstood. Damn it. You just don't appreciate them.
Six people have been taken into custody, five of them juveniles, after police responded to shots being fired in Northeast. Happened at 7 o'clock at Northeast 82nd Avenue, where it crosses the Max tracks. Apparently, the kids fired shots at the moving car when the cops arrived. They tried to hide, but they couldn't hide good enough.
So some kids in Northeast just started firing guns at a Max?
Well, they're not having much fun ever since these people burning cars have been apprehended.
I was going to say, there's nothing to burn in Southeast or in Northeast. I mean, that's not true. I've been there. There's plenty of stuff to burn. So was the train just rolling through or was it stopped?
I guess so. No, I guess it was just...
My God, that's got to be a goddamn unnerving experience. You're on the Max and somebody starts firing a gun at you?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't hit anybody, did it?
No, apparently the neighbors say this is the first criminal activity she's seen there.
Really?
I've seen drug deals and people smoking dope.
In Northeast?
I saw a guy 2 days ago get his face bashed in.
That's hard to believe. I was to understand that was a new exciting crown jewel of Portland.
So that's 82nd Avenue at the Max Tracks. Might not sound fun.
Yeah, but go today, won't you? Jesus God.
Well, Robert Comer died with a steady gaze and a defiant smile on his face. He is the first person to be executed in Arizona since November 2000.
Comer?
I barely knew her.
And he brought a picture of his daughter with him to the death chamber. And his final words were, "Go Raiders." Chemicals were put in his veins, and he died immediately.
It's not going to work.
He held a smile until he slipped away.
Two observations about this. First of all, it's not like I've been following it all that closely, but I don't believe your death chamber words are going to help the Raiders. I don't think anything has helped the Raiders recently. And secondly, it's just a side note to that, although I'm not a sports fan now really to any level. The only sport I really follow at this point, I watch boxing a little bit, that's about it. But when I was a kid, I was a Raiders freak. I was a fanatic. Back when they were the Oakland Raiders and then the LA Raiders and back to Oakland, I was a huge Raiders fanatic when I was growing up. And then I just grew out of it at a certain point. But I will say, the great thing about the Raiders, and I am proud to say that I was a Raiders fan before they had that whole Real Men Wear Black campaign. I was an old school Raiders fan. But the Raiders at one point were just a team just full of hooligans and thugs. And so there is a certain really of all the teams in the NFL, there is a certain appropriateness to a guy on death row giving a shout out to the Raiders. They really are the team that does. They are the one team that really that is completely and totally apropos for. Has anybody here ever thought about what their last words would be if they were executed? There's rolling her eyes again. I guess that's a no. Tim?
No, I have not.
Is this another weird thing you do?
I can't consider myself being on death row.
Well, me either. Not usually. I do. This is... I guess this is like the do you ever ponder the way you're going to die thing. Maybe this is... I thought that everybody thought about these things. I thought that everybody sort of ruminated on this stuff. I don't really know what my last words would be because there was this guy... God, what was his name?
Bob.
Not Michael Gilmore, Gary Gilmore, who was executed in Utah by firing squad. His brother Michael then wrote, Shot in the Heart. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. His last words, he had the manliest last words ever. They strapped him in and they said, "Do you have any last words before we execute firing squad?" He goes, "Let's do it now," which is just great. It's like a total cowboy way to go out. I'm trying to think if there's been any other exciting... Utah killed people constantly when I lived there. I'm trying to think if there are any other exciting last words. No, this is a dead end of a topic. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, TV handyman Ty Pennington pled no contest today to charges of drunk driving. He was twice over the legal limit when he was busted in Venice, California, after midnight on the 5th. He has been sentenced to 3 years probation in order to pay a $390 fine. He must also complete 3 months of AAA, well, that's AA, or AA, and participate in a MUD, oh, that's a MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, Victims Impact Seminar.
I think just a little bit of marketing advice from me to you, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, with whom I have some issues anyway. I hate to be a nitpicker here, but really, just in terms of linguistic, when you're talking about drunk driving, you might not want to use the term victims impact. You know? Just a thought. Let's see. Mailman Chris says, hey, shots fired at 82nd and the Max. That's directly in my route. I love my job. Thank you, sir. What else do we have? Tim Riley should tell us whether a dog was involved in all stories and whether it survived whenever he reports an accident, because we all know we do care more about dogs than people, especially idiots who get themselves involved in stupid automobile accidents. That
we
is
do.
True, sir. That is absolutely true. When is the last time you saw a dog, when is the last time we saw a dog take control of a car and drive it into something? All right, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, I'm afraid I can't oblige with the dog story, but I do have something about ducks. A mother and nine ducklings are stopping traffic on Highway 101.
Aww.
A single mom and her nine children stop traffic and disrupted activities at a furniture store in Florence.
Why do you never see the father duck in those parades?
Well, they're very promiscuous. Her brood was crossing busy Highway 101 and 18th Street when a motorist stopped traffic to let them cross. The youngsters then scattered onto the loading dock of Roby's Western Lane Furniture, prompting a quick rescue effort. Employees and customers rounded up the nine, while the mom cried noisily above.
They rounded up the nine.
Mm-hmm. They tried to get the mother to follow them to Munsell Creek a few blocks away, but she wouldn't cooperate. This duck was stubborn. So they took the ducklings to a nearby vacant lot and let them go well away from traffic where the bomb could rejoin them.
All right. Let's see. Oh, here's the guy who says, Rick, I put the thinking music on your comments page. Is that where it's from? It's from the MySpace?
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah.
You allow people at random to post music?
Yeah, I dial the people, do whatever they want. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me.
Doesn't matter to me.
All right. Let's see. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Greetings and salutations.
Hey. Good last words. Pull my finger. Or... what's that off of the Iron Maiden song about the guy who, he's not a number, he's a free man?
Yeah, I don't really, I'm actually not a colossal Iron Maiden fan, so I don't really know the answer to that.
I'm not either, except on VH1 Classic.
Okay.
The real reason I'm calling is not to bring up about the gas and the price of gas again, but yesterday I was listening to NPR and they were talking about the inflation index and how it's going to be recalculated monthly.
Right.
And right now the inflation index shows that the national average of the price of gas, which is $3.22,
right,
is in the realm of keeping up with inflation. And if it was too high, they're saying $3.29 should be the national average. So either way,
I mean,
over $3 is still high, and water shouldn't cost, $8 a gallon.
It's still high, but it's like, I always wonder about that adjusted for inflation.
It still doesn't take the meat out of the Doritos.
But milk is still $1.99 a gallon at your grocery store. So
I'm just, this gas thing is relatable, whatever we want to say about it. Well, no, but it's like when they talk about the highest grossing films of all time. And they'll say, okay, well, you know what? Independence Day, to take an example, made, whatever, let's say $200 million, however much it made. That made $200 million. Gone with the Wind only made like $25 million. But you know
how
what?
How much was a ticket?
Yeah, but tickets were like 10 cents. It makes no sense because tickets were 10 cents. So if you adjust it for inflation, in other words, if you adjust it and make all the ticket prices the same, Gone with the Wind is the highest grossing film of all time. It's like $500 billion or some crap.
And would they adjust that over with like what the population of the United States or of the world was at the time?
Yeah, maybe.
And create that index.
Maybe.
Hey, one final thing. Do you think that Spike TV will bring Hardcastle and McCormick back?
I'm for anybody who brings Hardcastle and McCormick, sir. All right, thank you. Rick, my last words will be, here's a pop culture reference that no one will get. My last words will be, I did it for Johnny. This is Bill and the Coof. That's a downtown, not a downtown, I'm sorry, that's a West Coast Julie Brown reference. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a Colorado woman claims she was mistakenly booted off MySpace because she was flagged as a sex offender. Jessica Davis says she received an email from the website's administrator saying, you are a sex offender.
Sex offender?
I barely knew her.
Well, as it turns out, who they were really looking for was another woman who lives next to her in Utah, who has the same birth date and is a sex offender. So there.
All right. So it was. Wait. Hold on.
It's a case of mistaken identity.
And this is what, on the MySpace?
The MySpace.
So
she was flagged as a sex offender.
I'm unclear
because they're turning in all these sex offenders.
Okay, but I'm unclear about something, and maybe I don't understand the internet as well as some do. I don't understand how MySpace knows if you're a sex offender or not. Does anybody know?
Maybe there's a box you check when you sign up.
But you don't use your real name.
No,
you don't.
I'm just kidding.
Do you?
No.
How do they know?
I don't know. I'm not a MySpacer.
I mean, all you MySpacers and Bobby Soxers, There's no box that says, are you, do you like to touch little children? So, which I would check no, by the way, just so we're clarifying or across the board here. But you know what I mean? In other words, like, do you ever try to search for some? Do you ever do this? Do you ever try to search for somebody in MySpace under their real name, somebody knew like 12 years ago, and you can never find them because they never use their real name. They always call themselves like I Love Rainbows 55 or some crap, you know, whatever. Toast Lover. I don't understand how MySpace figures out if you're a sex offender or not. It's kind of creepy that they would even be able to figure that out because that implies that MySpace is somehow able to look way deeper into your life than it thinks than they ought to be able to, given the amount of information it takes to sign up. You can sign up without telling them you don't tell them anything private about yourself when you sign up. How would MySpace possibly know whether you are a sex offender? Either one of two things. Either sex offenders are stupid and they just put that on their page, interest, molesting children, or B, MySpace is lying about this to get in good with the government and they really don't know if you're a sex offender.
Or so the people are random,
yeah,
like
or
a poor woman in Utah.
Or C, MySpace really secretly knows a whole lot more about who you are than they tell you, which means that they are colluding with like government agents. I'm not going to be a conspiracy guy, but that's the only way MySpace would know if you're a sex offender. I mean, if you are some guy named, whatever, Johnny Touch-A-Lot, you know, that's your legal name, and you sign up as, like, you know, Skittle fan, how do they possibly know that you are also this guy? And even if they know that you are that guy, how do they know that you have a criminal record? The only way MySpace would know that is if they know a lot more about MySpace users than they let on. And if they really know, like, whatever Sarah's, you know, username is, they really have access to her private files. That's the only way they'd know. I would assume, yes. I would assume that from now on, that you just operate under the assumption that MySpace really does have access to your criminal record, your background, your whatever government files there may be on you. So, this guy says, Rick, I'd like to thank Tim Riley for not mentioning that the shooting involved 10 black guys. I'm tired of being stared at when I ventured back to Beaverton via the Blue Line. Signed, Mike, black guy in Portland. Consider it done, sir. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, it didn't offer that information.
Oh. Well, I'm only reading the emails.
All right.
I don't know anything about the story.
And I don't care about things like that anyway.
Passing along the observation.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's time to start going in a new direction, says Nancy Pelosi.
Bam.
After the Democrats back down to the president again.
We are going to bring an end to this war, and we have to
somebody beating a bongo?
Necessary to do them.
She's
all of
bongos.
Us have that goal that at the end of the day, the American people are very wise on this. And their wisdom will be reflected in the actions of Congress.
Apparently not. Apparently they forgot everything the American people wanted to do.
Oh, it's not going to be reflected in anything. No.
Well, it's time for Republicans to also go in a new direction, says Republican leader Mitch McConnell.
The handwriting is on the wall that we are going in a different direction in the fall, and I expect the president to lead it. In other words, I think he himself has certainly indicated he's not happy with where we are.
So there's going to be two new directions.
Two new directions.
The Democrats have a new direction that they're pressing up against the new direction of
the
Republicans.
And the Republicans under the leadership of the president. Who wouldn't want that?
The president's new direction.
New direction.
So basically there's going to be, you might say, a figurative sort of sword fight between these new directions.
Mm-hmm. Well, meanwhile, with the holidays coming up, it's time to go over a few safety tips that you may have forgotten.
What holiday is coming up? On Monday, there's some holiday. Well, we'll be here. Doesn't matter.
What's Independence Day?
Monday, we celebrate our
Memorial Day.
It is, yeah, so we'll be here, by the way. Everybody knew that, but I'll tell you that.
I just forgot to sign up for a day off.
All right.
Well, it's time to remind everybody, it's not a wise decision to barbecue inside your home.
When it gets a little rainy and stuff, they'll bring it in a lot of carbon monoxide problems with that. The other thing people will do is they don't think they got the charcoal going well enough, so they'll take that can and spray charcoal lighter fluid in on hot coals and flare everything up. You know, that creates basically you're holding a can full of flammable liquid that's liable to ignite, and you know, that's a little closer than you really want to be anyway.
Fire is fun.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, so don't
barbecue inside your house.
Did they really say
that? Yeah.
Unless you sing for Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to go out on that joke?
I thought it was kind of break time. I could have timed it in that manner.
Okay.
For you,
we'll take
the host of the program.
We'll take this call. It's a break. I don't know if we wanted to go out on a Brad Delp line.
I kind of liked it, but apparently it wasn't.
This is the encore. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, Rick, about the MySpace stuff.
Yeah.
what happened was recently the government had been wanting to look at MySpace files, and MySpace had been refusing to let them look.
Yeah.
They got the lawyer's clearance, and a couple of days ago they finally got the lawyer's okay. They can open the files. So what it is the government is going to them with specific people they want to look at. Now, how they made the mistake on the woman, I don't know, but that's at least what they're saying, okay, but, how they're operating.
But that still doesn't make any sense. Here's what I'm saying. Listen to me now. Okay, if I go to MySpace right now and I open a brand new account and they say, what is your name? And I say, my name is Hugh Jass. And then, well, what is your email? HughJass@yahoo.com.
Right.
Well, where do you live? Well, you know, what's your zip code? I don't know. Where do you live? 1060 West Addison, you know, and I just give them some fake address. How does the government possibly know if I'm a sex offender?
Well, what they do is if there's someone who goes to them and say, oh, this has been going on and this person's been contacting me, and his name is blah, blah in MySpace, then the government can go look at that file and see who's been accessing it and trace it back to an actual house.
So let me understand this. So this relies on the honesty of sex offenders when giving their information.
No. Just because you have a different name doesn't mean they can't find what computer it comes from.
So this is not...
They want to trace it back to see what machine was being used and then connect a person to the machine.
So MySpace isn't handing over the name of sex offenders, though, because they wouldn't know that. All they're doing is handing over the information of somebody who may have been bothering people.
They're given a list by the government saying, these are possible sex offenders. Can you give us our files? And then we'll see if we can put a real name with them.
Well, that's kind of creepy, too, because I wonder on MySpace how they would possibly say that you are. I mean, I want to know what MySpace uses. Not that I'm in danger of being classed as one, but I really wonder what MySpace uses to determine whether you are a sex offender or not.
Well, again, I don't think they make the decision. The government just says, we want to look at huge ass, you know, let us see... You know, who's been accessing that file? Who has a password for it?
This is going to go badly. I'm telling you right now, you mark my words, there's going to be lawsuits. This is going to go badly. It already started. It's a woman in Utah who got nabbed. Anytime something like this happens where somebody, here's how you know if somebody's a sex offender. If they've been caught molesting a child, they're a sex offender. If everybody who has some creepy sex thing on their MySpace page is a sex offender, then like 80% of the people in this audience are going to be going away for a while. So, all right. Well, thank you, sir.
All right,
there you go.
Breaking news now.
Wait, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Just let me wait. Just breaking news. Wait, hold on. Oh, no, I've lost my... wait, hold on. Breaking news with... No. All right, there we go.
ABC has just announced that Rosie O'Donnell will not be back on The View. Brian Franz, the president of ABC Daytime, issued the following statement. We had hoped that Rosie would be back with us until the end of her contract three years from now.
Sure they did.
But Rosie has informed us that she would like to leave early. Therefore, we part ways, thank her for her tremendous contribution to The View, and wish her well. In a statement, Barbara Walters said, quote, I brought Rosie to the show. Rosie contributed to the most exciting and successful years at The View. I am most appreciative. Our close and affectionate relationship will not change. For her part, Rosie said, quote, I am extremely grateful. It's been an amazing year, and I love all three women.
Uh-huh. These were all written by the same computer. There is like a firing Mad Libs that they use. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
None of this changes the fact that there's nobody here to hang the television in our studio, by the way. We should take
maybe
a break.
Maybe go on one of those free FM. Oh, no, she can't, can she? I think it's Free FM in San Francisco. Free FM in New York. No, I guess not.
Oh, by the way, I know we're late, but... Well, never mind. I'll talk about it when we get back. There's a little bit of a funny station. There's a little bit of business, a little bit of inside radio talk that I can... We'll discuss when we get back.
Oh, what could that be?
It's not that exciting. It's 503-733-3970. We return with more of Tim Riley's new news hour around the corner. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. You stay right there. Program. You know who I don't miss? Kanye West. Gone. Been gone for a while now. Don't miss him. Don't care. 503-733-2970. Here's a little observation. If you're making a quirky independent film, I'm going to give you a little observation you can put in your movie Quentin Tarantino style. You can have two characters talk about this while they're waiting to commit a crime. Junior Mints are a candy only purchased by people at the movie theaters. The last time you bought Junior Mints, it was at the movies. No one ever wakes up at their house and says, I got to go to the store right now and buy some Junior Mints.
I crave red vines.
That's what I'm saying. I just stopped somebody in the hallway. I'm like, hey, when's the last time you bought Junior Mints? Movie theater.
And there people buy them by the big box and eat two and throw the rest on the floor.
Yes.
That's why I used to have to clean up after the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, dude, that's the worst job in the history of the world.
It was, and I did it.
That's worse than cleaning a porn store.
Mm-hmm.
Where was the Rocky Horror that you had to clean up after?
It was in Ventura Boulevard, Sherman Oaks, California.
Oh, that can't be fun.
No, it was not.
No fun at all. God damn, I can't imagine cleaning up a Rocky Horror Picture Show.
And I used to have to take the bus home afterwards. At 2 o'clock in the morning, you're the only white person on the bus.
Covered in sludge and rice.
Yep.
Just covered with bits of toast. All right, here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, California is having a problem because some whales swam out of the ocean and swam all the way to Sacramento, which is very much inland. So they tried to coax the whales back, and they wouldn't pay attention. So now they're going to bring out the fire hoses.
I find whales cute like everybody else does. Like all human beings with a soul, I find whales and polar bears to be charming, and they're lovable and all that. But I've been following this story for a couple of days now, and these whales clearly don't want to be saved. Right? That's the thing.
Well, maybe they're naturally curious.
Yeah, but I mean, haven't they been doing all this stuff to like, haven't they been done everything but like point the whales towards the door and like kick them in the ass and say, that way, get out?
Well, they have, and now they're going to bring out the fire hoses.
At this point, we really don't know whether that will be an attractant, because there'll be bubbles, a potential wave action, or it'll be a deterrent to drive them away.
If whales are that smart, let them find their own way out.
I don't think whales are that smart.
But don't we always hear how whales are really intelligent?
No, we hear dolphins are very intelligent.
If they're so intelligent, why don't they avoid those nets?
That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe some are smarter than others.
Think about that one.
They're not trying to stress out the whales by no means.
Still playing its balance between not wanting to stress injured animals. Both animals still have these propeller wounds, but because they've been in fresh water, they haven't healed at all, and in fact, they're getting slightly necrotic around the edges.
Am I the only one that roots for whales to start destroying Japanese whaling boats? I root for that to happen all the time. Every time I see a show about, like, Japanese, because don't, and I may be wrong with this, but doesn't the Japanese government, don't they whale, like, in violation of all kinds of international sanctions?
That is true.
Don't we have a whole bunch of international laws that, like, don't kill whales? And the Japanese are like, we will kill whales. And then they go out and they just kill whales by the dozens. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they don't do it anymore. But for a while, I think the Japanese government whaled. They went out and they did all this, the killing of the whales, like, and despite the fact that like we'd all pass laws saying you couldn't, and then every time I'd see that, I would just root for a whale or a kraken or some other giant sea creatures to come up and just destroy those boats. Doesn't really ever happen, though. It's unsatisfying. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
You know, Rick, there's enough data that identifies your computer every time you get on the internet. If you're sending out a request, getting something back, it's going to come back and find your computer. And your internet service provider can actually determine what your address is.
No, I understand. I mean, this is back in the MySpace thing. I don't mean to cut you off. I understand that the IP address of your computer can be used to determine your physical address. I understand that. I understand that if I get on the internet and if I'm, trying to buy plutonium or heroin or a 5-year-old, that somebody can somebody spots that, they can tell my ISP, who in turn figures out my physical address, the cops come to get me. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, how does MySpace turn over the names of, quote, sex offenders to the government? How does MySpace know who a sex offender is? And based on what?
They don't. The government has a database of sex offenders and their addresses and their dates of birth and all the other data on them. So here's a lady. She's at 970 Emerson Street, apartment 3. The sex offender's in apartment 4.
Oh, I see.
She enters enough data. Her date of birth is accurate.
All right. So you're saying they do it the opposite. It's not that they're starting with an online activity and finding the house. You're saying it's because the government knows where sex offenders are physically, and then they are asking MySpace to then find them based on that physical address, which becomes the IP address.
Correct.
All right. That makes more sense. That makes a lot more sense than MySpace monitoring your behavior and trying to, because the way the stories are all written, they make it sound like MySpace is some profiler where MySpace sits and watches you and tries to deduce if you're some nutcase.
don't.
All right.
By the way, did you open the DVD that on Funland the other day?
You know, I just got those. Those had actually been put in somebody else's box. I just got them yesterday. So I've not looked at them yet, but they are sitting on my desk right now, sir.
Okay, a Peep Show is for Sarah.
Oh, okay. All right. There's a. I got two DVDs, one called Peep Show and one called Funland, which I believe is about a killing clown.
Right.
Yes, excellent. I'll be watching that this weekend. One's about a killer clown and one is about, I don't know what the Peep Show one's about. What's the Peep Show one about, sir?
The Peep Show is turned around. It's women who go to a Peep Show with men.
Okay, there you go. So, sir, I've got that DVD.
Thank you.
I've got that DVD waiting for you. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right, there you go. Here's Tim Riley.
It's America's great pastime, I suppose. One of the greatest things about the holiday weekend is the Indianapolis 500. Chris Huston enjoyed some beers with his buddies.
Oh, it's fun. I like coming here and plan my vacation around it, get to enjoy the race and get around with some friends.
Terry Yoda set up her tent.
As long as you don't get too much rain, it's beautiful. You don't have to work. You can party.
He sounds like a partier.
He does.
I want to throw down with that guy.
Today is Miller Lite Carb Day, and people are all geared up for it, apparently.
Drinking some beer, having some fun, people watching.
I like it. I like the beer, the people watching. Good times. The sun.
It'll be a crazy, crazy day.
I'm here enjoying the day. The sun. A lot better being here than work.
It's hard to believe that this is a populace that can be easily fooled by an incompetent government.
Right. Michelle lives next to the track, and she loves having race fans in her neighborhood.
I love it. I love all the race people. Mm-hmm. I even converted my garage to be a bathroom.
Her garage.
To be a bathroom.
To be a bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
She converted her garage.
I love it. I love all the race people. Mm-hmm. I even converted my garage to be a bathroom.
Is that like when you're really brave? You have a lot of garage? All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yes, hello. I was just wondering if you remember the show Pigs in Space off the Muppet, or its little segment.
Pigs in Space! Yes.
There you go. Anyways, well, I guess, you know,
is that really
only that
is
exciting.
That the reason you called?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly, just to be random. Fantastic. No, I thought it would be fun to, think of something more fun as far as, the weekend.
You don't find this discussion of sex offenders on MySpace to be fascinating and fun. Pigs in Space is a great show. Pigs in Space, and then also, what was that other, veterinary hospital? The continuing story of a cat that's gone to the dogs?
I barely remember that because my childhood's a little fuzzy, but, anyways, I was
with
just
the
trying
beatings?
To, yeah, all the, well, all the fun in between.
Yeah.
No, it's a weekend. Maybe it'd be more fun to think about mints that are smeared on the floors of movie theaters.
Let me just say this, sir. If your goal, this really is a random call, so your mission has been accomplished there. This call is the definition of random.
Well, thank you. That was my mission. So, something of that sort.
Anything else you'd like to bring up while you're on the phone?
Let's see. Muppets are cute.
They are indeed, my friend. They are. Indeed. Thank you, Jim.
All right. Let's go.
All right. Thank you.
Chowder.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Finally, Jim. Here's Tim Riley.
Brad Paisley says his supporting acts don't know what's in store for them regarding the pranks he can pull on tour. But he's already seeing opener Kelly Pickler get into the spirit of things, which he appreciates. Pickler knows that recently she tried to play a little trick on her tour mate Jack Ingram during one of his sets. She explained she dressed up as what she called this beat-up hillbilly girl, complete with a wig and some fake bad teeth. She announced that her prank didn't go as well as originally planned.
It was during his lips of an angel, and I was trying to blow kisses at him with those teeth in my mouth, and they actually fell out. And the people beside of me were looking at me like, this nutbag, you know. But, you know, we're all
this
having
nutbag.
Some fun.
Really?
So that's what it's about.
They're looking like you were a nutbag?
Mm-hmm.
That makes my other comment, which was just going to be to pause and go, all right, it's Kelly Pickler.
Well, a Memorial Day poll finds most Americans would want to spend their holiday with presidential candidates, New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani for the Republicans and Illinois Senator Barack Obama for Democrats. The polling director, Peter Brown, said the survey shows which candidates Americans would like to meet at a cookout.
It's a way of trying to get a reading on the question of likability and just genuineness that people feel about candidates. Who do they think is genuine? Who would they like to share a burger with?
Well, they do it. That's another thing they have. That's every time there's an election, they have it. Who would you rather have a beer with? Which, sadly, is sort of an indicator of who Americans like to vote for president. I do get the feeling, I will say this, I do have the, who would you like to have a beer with? I do get the feeling that Rudy Giuliani would be a guy who could sit and drink with you probably all night long and match you shot for shot. I do have it. That is my estimation of that man.
What is the difference between this Memorial Day picnic poll and other presidential surveys?
Giuliani is winning among Republicans in our polls. Well, just that, who do you want to be president questions.
But the only thing he's going to win.
Obama finishes among Democrats. Obama runs behind Senator Hillary Clinton. So this is a little bit, this shows, I think, the curiosity about Senator Obama.
Wait, hold on. I have a Hillary Clinton story here.
Oh, I'd like to hear it.
Do you really?
Yes.
Okay. Wait, let me throw away this immigration story so I don't accidentally
read
it.
Nobody cares about that.
No, it's just so tedious. I printed out this immigration story this morning.
We're all going to be working for minimum wage anyway. Basically, it's what it comes down to. It's just a matter of time.
I printed this out. It's a four-page story from the New York Times. Why did I print this out? What was I possibly thinking I was going to do with this? You know what this show really needs? You know what this action-packed program needs? Four pages of news from the New York Times on immigration. Just put that over there so I can put that in the burn pile. We need a burn barrel in here like they have in the offices of the CIA. Hey, did you ever see that movie Breach?
Yes, I did. We talked about that a long time ago.
Oh, hello.
We dedicated several programs to it.
Never mind. Let's move on now.
It is being released on video, is it not?
You know what I can't wait for in video is Zodiac. I am all over that. I can't wait to watch that movie again and again and again. Zodiac is a
fantastic. I liked it until like the last hour.
Until the last 4 hours of it.
The 70s stuff in it.
It was a great movie. I'm a big David Fincher fan. All right, so we've got this. Remember we had this story last week, these hideous songs that Hillary Clinton is asking people to vote for. She's trying to get the audience to pick her campaigns on. By the way, I did predict that it was going to be Beautiful Day by U2. My thing about Hillary Clinton having the audience or having her, her supporters pick her song, I wonder who is picking these, you know, in other words, who's picking these, the first batch that people then vote on? Because it really is also narcissistic, as though running for president isn't narcissistic to begin with. But after last week's promise that Hillary Rodham Clinton will keep her singing to herself as blah, 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 Clinton has narrowed the original list of 9 songs down to 4, but added 5 more. In the process, she's received 600,000 votes. The songs that made it through round one. Okay, so these are the initial songs that people have voted on. These are the songs that got the most votes right now. This is the first round of voting. The preliminary one, might say, the primary, to pick Hillary Clinton's theme song. Suddenly I See by K.T. Tunstall. Rock This Country by Shania Twain. Get Ready by the Temptations. It'll either be that. It'll either be Get Ready by the Temptations or U2's Beautiful Day, which is what I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be U2's Beautiful Day because that is the one that most closely... Because, first of all, U2 is a completely unthreatening band. They don't threat... They are the band that... U2 really is the group that everybody at work can agree on. U2 is sort of the... I don't know. I don't even know what to compare it to. U2 is sort of the Friends of the music world. You know, just everybody can kind of watch it. Doesn't really have any discernible personality or style, so everybody can sort of like it. U2's Beautiful Day or Get Ready by the Temptations. They might pick that one just because that appeals to like the White House wives who think that they have soul. The campaign, though, there were 5 write-in votes. The campaign has added the 5 most popular write-in suggestions as well. Are You Gonna Go My Way by Lenny Kravitz, which I believe is about Jesus, incidentally. Ain't No Stopping Us Now by I don't even know this song. McFadden and Whitehead? Anyone?
I think that's from the 70s. Scotty, remember that.
How does it... Well, you know what, with his experience as a karaoke singer...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Beat up, Scotty.
End of message.
Welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show. Scotty J, our intrepid PA. Why, hello, Scotty. How are you today?
Well, good afternoon. Doing great, Rick.
Please don't introduce yourself like that anymore. You have to stop that.
You gotta find a new gimmick.
You have to. You can't just don't do that.
Rick, I'm doing terrible. I feel terrible. I was.
Are you hungover today?
No. I felt like being hungover today, but I didn't.
You just didn't have the energy to drink.
Exactly.
I felt like being over, but I
couldn't
get hungover.
My lips.
You have a drinking problem. You have a head striker problem.
Yes.
All right. All right. What is "Ain't No Stopping Us Now" by McFadden and Whitehead? Do you know that song?
Ain't no stopping us now.
So is that the original
that. 70s? I found
that's
a brand
like
a new
70s.
Toy.
That's a 70s deal, right?
I have found a brand new wind-up toy.
Did I get that song right
you
there?
Did. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, please to be continuing.
That's all I know.
Okay, do it again. Do the hook again.
I think it's something like this. There ain't no stopping us now.
You're not a bad singer. You're not a terrible singer. No, I mean, really. I mean, it's not like you're the best singer in the history of the world, but you're not
right.
bad.
I thought it was going to be ripped apart today.
I think everybody expected
maybe you
to
be on a weekend show where you can display your vocal abilities. Let me just say...
The karaoke show.
Well, no. Now, listen to this now. Hold on. Can I know it's a little early in the day for this. As the man says in the... That thing you do. Not too early in the day for one of these, I hope. Hold on, wait. I gotta drink. I gotta have this cup of coffee. Hold on. Because I got this observation to make, but it's gonna take some caffeine. All right. No, wait, I need just a little bit more.
Time, attention podcasters, we are going to be up to date in the near future. This is something special coming up for you guys. You'll be able to get Rick Emerson right on the hour.
I like that. And more people are listening to podcasts. Usually I upload them for the train trip every day.
You do?
I upload
excellent.
All kinds of things just to listen to them.
All right, there we go. Is that true? Scotty, actually, while I'm finishing this, would you please to enlighten the people? Is that going to be happening soon, the podcast?
It's going to be, well, the deal is we've been a day or two or three behind, right? On,
right, and
on
so, but there's like a 20-minute lag now?
Yeah, no, seriously. You're done at 12:30. You go to commercial. I can cut it up right. And put it there.
So we can do a little pre-announcement here, and then we'll make this observation, then we'll return to the news. I'm just going to say this. We are going to be launching, I think I can say this now, we're going to be launching something. It is we're calling it the AM 970 Almost Live Stream. And so that is going to be launched soon. People have been nagging us for a long time about why don't you stream the show. Now, we podcast it. We have an MP3 archive. People have been like, why don't you stream it? Why don't you stream it? Why don't you stream it? We are going to be launching very soon. It's going to be a commercial-free stream. It is the AM 970 Almost Live Stream. And that's going to be launching very soon. So
that sounds very exciting.
That's gonna be a commercial. At some point there may be commercials in, but I don't know. But I think initially it's gonna be.
When you say almost live, do you mean 5 minutes behind or something or more?
I think it's gonna be like 20 minutes behind.
Oh, okay.
So I mean the show. We use basically how people use TiVo anyway. If a show comes on at 9 o'clock on your TiVo, you start watching it like 9:20. So it'll be about 20 or 25 minutes behind. Meaning you could, like the show's on from 11 to 3 every day, you'll listen to this stream from like 11:30 until the end of the show. It'll start about half an hour after the show does. The AM 970 Almost Live Stream that'll be launching very soon. All right,
that's wondrous.
What was my
most people will be happy.
What was my observation going to be? Oh, karaoke. Now, Tim, have you ever heard these stations? The last time I heard one of these, it was in San Diego. There was an AM station that on Saturday night, I swear to God, they did 3 hours of karaoke.
No, I have not.
Have you ever? You've never heard a station that did that?
No.
And it was not a non-com. It was not a. It wasn't like a college station. It was a regular commercial radio station. And it was not only karaoke. It was karaoke live on the air, live from a venue. It was so weird. It was like I remember going to In-N-Out Burger one night, and I'm driving along, and I'm going to In-N-Out, and this is when I was living in San Diego, and I tune in. And it was like, and I hear this, you know, did you ever know that you are my hero? And I'm like, well, what in the name of zombie Christ is this? And then it was followed by like some guy singing Till the Last Teardrop Falls by Freddie Fender. And then it was just a whole lot of crap. And I was like, what is going on? And then it turned out it was a 3 hour, 9 to midnight show of karaoke performances live from some watering hole somewhere.
Okay, so that's my question.
You can't have that show. You can't have
No,
a show.
No, no. Were the people actually there, or did they send in, you know, tapes or discs?
It sounded like it was all... I don't know if it was actually live, but it sounded like it was at least taped, like it was 1 3-hour night at this bar that was being broadcast. It was insane. It was the weirdest thing I've ever heard. So... Although I do have to admit, I sat and listened to it for like 30 minutes. I listened for like a solid half an hour because it was terrible. All right, here's... what did I bring you in to do, Scotty?
I have no idea.
Okay, the other songs and Hillary Clinton popular write-in suggestions for Hillary Clinton's theme song. Are You Gonna Go My Way? Ain't No Stopping Us Now. Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic. Just talk about that. She can't pick any of these. The most narcissistic songs. You and I by Celine Dion and Simply the Best by Tina Turner.
I'll tell you the one that makes me the sickest of all, and it just invokes my rage from yesterday, is that everything she does is magic. Hillary Clinton, everything she does is magic. Come on.
That makes Fadden and Whitehead song done now. Thank you, sir. Here's Tim Riley. All that for that? That's really what people say every day at the conclusion of the program. At 3 o'clock every day. There's 4 hours of my life for that. There's bumpkins. All right.
Well, let me tell you about this alligator that's been lurking for years in L.A.'s Lake Machado. It's been captured. Trappers caught Reggie the alligator near a boathouse yesterday afternoon. L.A. Councilwoman Janice Hahn says she was there when they caught Reggie.
We got the call from someone at the lake who said he was on land and he was in an area that if we wanted to catch him, we should come out there right now. We all jumped in our cars. We drove to where he was, and it was a team effort. We had guys laying on the back of him and someone else putting duct tape around his mouth.
Reggie the alligator has been captured.
And how long has he lived in this Los Angeles park?
Several years, I believe.
Mm, all right.
Yeah, for a while. Who knows? Well, despite the high cost of gasoline, thousands of Utahans are expected to travel this Memorial Day weekend.
It's a heavy news day, I can tell. Do we have sound from the Utahns?
We certainly do.
The
AAA spokeswoman, Rolaine Faircloth. Rolaine Faircloth tells us what to expect from Utahans.
Well, it looks like we're going to have a slight increase over last year's numbers on travelers. We figure about 346,000 Utahans will go at least 50 miles or more from home this Memorial Day weekend. It represents about a 1.6% increase from last year.
So this is what we've come to today in the News Hour. We've come to reporting on the traveling habits of Utahans.
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic.
Well, they may be listening on the World Wide Web.
I don't think they believe in that. It'll take their souls away. Let's do one more here, and then we'll take a break.
Well, it's going to be a busy Memorial Day weekend on Miami Beach, especially South Beach. They're going to have a hip-hop festival there. Miami Detective Bobby Hernandez says it's organized chaos.
You have to have organized chaos, if you will. You got to have police officers out there arresting people that are being disorderly. You have people drinking in public. They're given ample opportunities to dump the drink. If they say no or they refuse, well, they go to jail.
This sounds like fun. Sharon Overton of Boston says she's enjoying herself immensely.
We have some fun getting to, you know, little clubs and just enjoying myself. We don't have things like this in Boston. It's not like this.
And they don't have parties in Boston. They don't have any drinking in Boston. That doesn't happen at all there. All right, fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. Should I do the shop talk now or should it wait? Sarah, how close do we have to break?
We probably should.
We're under the gun, out on the run. We've got a bad reputation and a sticky situation.
Okay.
Okay. Speaking of Bon Jovi, let me play this into the break with some more Scotty J. This is Scotty J and his band Vital Signs. Sarah, do you want to hear Burning for You, Day Tripper, Talk Dirty to Me, Rock You Like a Hurricane, Just What I Needed, Don't Fear the Reaper, New Girl...
Ooh, Don't Fear the Reaper.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Reaper, ladies and gentlemen, Scotty J and Vital Signs captured live at the Forum, 1988, with... All right, here's Scotty J and Vital Signs with Don't Fear the Reaper. Back up, he submits to death. He's come about the reaping. Back after this on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Yeah. Eric Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming along. An exciting piece of... It's not that exciting. A piece of shop talk here in a second. Plus, Crocodile Hunter news. And we'll be announcing the Glorious Bastard of the Week here in just a few... Oh, we'll talk OMSI. Do I even have that?
Hold on. I don't even know if I have the OMSI news.
We'll do the top five. Top five songs from... the top five singles released in 1977. We got Aaron Geek in the City. Duran is going to be joining us here in just a few. We've got more from the mellifluous voice of Scotty J. I really don't understand... I hate to keep going back to this today, but it is perplexing.
Scotty J.
It is fascinating.
What else? Except
you're not going to amount to jack
squat. End of message.
Welcome now back to the Rick Emerson Show. Scotty J., our intrepid PA. Why, hello, Scotty. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Rick.
Let me ask you this. Now, we've been playing some of this live CD, and I hate to keep bringing
you back.
Every
time Scotty walks in, even if he's been here 5 minutes before, you ask how he's doing today, right?
I understand. Which is what I do. Why have you been saying... Why... I don't understand the notion... Let me put it this way.
No, I know where you're going.
I understand that if you're in a band, which you were, your band of Vital Signs, that you... Is there going to be a Vital Signs reunion? You should totally play the next listener party. Vital Signs, totally. Whatever we do, the next gathering. I don't know when we're going to do another party, but if we do like another gathering or a small event somewhere, we do like a Cinco de Drinco type thing, just some other... You, Vital Signs, totally must play
it's
next...
It's the Vital Signs 20-year reunion.
Vital Signs, totally... Don't you agree, sir? They must do a set at the next...
No.
At the next
Sarah,
event we do, whatever it is.
You got to think about this, Sarah. This was when we were barely 20 years old, and the equipment was crap.
No.
We practiced for
think
three
of how good
lousy
you'd
weeks.
Sound now.
It'd be better.
Think of how great you would sound now.
I'm trying to find Scott a karaoke track for Scotty J to sing.
Thank you. I've got some over here, I think. Somebody sent me one, I believe. But my question to you is, I understand you're playing this live gig with your band 20 years ago. You throw it down on tape for posterity. Why did you record some of your karaoke performances, like this one from 1985?
Might not be able to hear my voice very well on that.
Well, let's find out. Ladies and gentlemen, the next voice you hear will be that of Scotty J.
I feel like you're singing through a kazoo.
I think it gets louder, but it was an old tape.
This isn't you.
Okay, that's totally not you.
I know.
Well, first of all, I can't even tell because you sound like a bumblebee.
That does not sound like him.
This is the part where I really hit the height.
All right, we got to back up. Hold on. Scotty J, ladies and gentlemen. Do you hear the scream?
Here comes, yeah.
Okay, here's the thing with this song. I'm having trouble discerning what is you and what is the backing vocal. Because there's clearly...
That's all me. There is no backing.
That's not true. I hear two vocals. I hear two vocals there. I hear a backing track. Hold on. Right here. When he does his next line, I hear a backing track. There's two vocals there.
That high point is me.
There's two voices singing. Okay, so my question is, why did you tape, or let's just hear one more here. This is, what is Jose? Tell me that's not Jose Cuervo.
No, it's a Steely Dan song. But
yeah, we're not going to listen to
it. It's one of my better ones.
That's okay. We're not.
No,
actually, there's no Steely Dan on the show.
No. Give it a shot.
No.
Actually, I want to show you something for vocal. That was the whole reason why that is there, is because if you were to critique me, that's one of my better.
Okay, you need to just calm everything. This isn't you.
That is not you.
Okay, who is it?
It doesn't sound anything like you.
It could not possibly
be. That was 1992.
That can't be. Okay, first of all, how is your voice higher in 1992 than it is on the Doors song, which is 7 years earlier, which is 85?
Because of the crappy
taping. Because of technology.
Yes, the crappy taping equipment.
That has nothing to do with the taping equipment, Scotty. That is a lie.
It was digital.
This is not... Okay, let's listen again. Now, you need to talk less. Talk less, listen more. Hold on a second. Now, listen. This is Scotty singing The Doors. I buy that this is you.
Yeah, that's totally Scotty.
Okay, so there's that. I buy that that's you.
You should play that other one.
Okay, listen to me now. I'm only going to say this one more time. I'm never playing a Steely Dan song on this show.
Except for a demonstration purpose to show you that the voice is
Scotty.
There, and it's me.
Scotty.
You're missing out.
Scotty. Okay, here's you singing, supposedly, Don't You Forget About Me. Now, keep in mind, what I'm about to play is almost a decade after that last recording. So, if anything, your voice would be deeper, because your voice gets deeper as you age. So, this is Scotty, supposedly. Walk on by. That's not you.
That is not you.
Listen again. Let's let the people judge. Okay, no. There's no way that that's you.
I can tell you what's happening there. I think that the tape recorder that records you was the song is actually too fast. So it's speeding up my voice a little bit. It's speeding up everything.
So you're claiming that it's been pitched up.
I think so.
So if I was able to pitch it down.
But anyways, they also have, you know, better processing stuff to treble and
processing.
Whatnot.
That is, you know, you really should be a talk show host because you're blaming everything on the processing now. This is like that six-month period when Rush Limbaugh was deaf and he was going when he talked and everybody was like, what's up? And his network's response was, we're experimenting with some new processing. And it was not that Rush Limbaugh had gone deaf. They blamed the processing. That's not the processing. It's not you.
You can't tell that's not me.
It's not you.
All that's right. Totally not
you. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. This is Chuck.
What's up? What are you...
Chuck.
Hey, I was going to call in yesterday. I had an idea for the name for the mystery meat.
Yes? Okay.
And, okay, so it's M-E-T, and the E has an umlaut.
So like met, but with an umlaut.
Yeah.
All right.
And then when you're talking about... Tim was talking about Utahns.
Mm-hmm.
I work with everybody in my company and upper management's from Salt Lake.
Yeah.
And I just had a flash for a better name for them.
Okay.
Oh, Utards.
All right. There you go. Thank you.
Right.
All right. We're done. All right. Somebody. Okay. So do we have a karaoke track for Scotty?
I've been looking for one. I found all these other ones. I don't think he'd know.
But you can't just pick something out of the blue. I have my, you know, go-to stuff.
How about Listen to Your Heart by Roxette?
I don't do any of that stuff.
Do you want to sing along to Don't You Forget About Me?
I could.
Let me see here. I'm trying to see if I have anything else.
I can't find an instrumental one.
Well, see, I've got a whole page of instrumentals here, but I don't think any of them. How about Yesterday by the Beatles, Scotty?
I don't do... See, I only do my certain... Here's what I do. I do YouTube. I do like one YouTube song. Uh-huh. I do like three Little River Band songs. I do...
The Little River Band.
I do Numb by Linkin... is that by Linkin Park, I believe.
Oh.
You know... The best song that I like to do usually is U2 Mysterious Ways.
How about Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash?
I don't do that.
Don't begin to ask. I'm trying to find something that works here. How about More Than Words by Extreme? I'm looking at songs that might be in your wheelhouse.
That's a good song.
You can sing that.
I can't do those.
Why not?
Because
a good singer can sing
anything,
Scotty.
I can only do a small select thing and then I'm off the stage and out.
So what are the
like
songs
the king,
that you...
You know, like Elvis.
Okay, I'm going to tell you this. I'll guarantee you know these songs. I'll guarantee you, you know Lean On Me by Bill Withers.
I hate all those songs. They're not going to sound good. It's going to be horrible.
Scotty, what are your go-to karaoke songs?
All Out of Love by Air Supply.
Oh,
oh
yeah?
My God, that's horrible. Who could do that song?
Scotty, name your songs again.
I do U2 Mysterious Ways.
All right, hold on. Let me look. Hold on. Mysterious Ways. This is gripping radio. I'm trying to find a karaoke track for Scotty to sing back.
I don't even know if you can play karaoke.
Let's see. No, I got nothing. All right, give me another one.
Cool Change by Little River Band.
Yeah, nobody, there's not going to be any.
These are the only songs that I really do, typically.
Clearly not. You do the Breakfast Club. That's it. I'll find the Don't You Forget.
No, I already have that one. But I don't. It's not instrumental.
Let me see if I've got the instrumental here. Hold on. Let me see if I might have this here. I mean, if push comes to shove, Scotty, we'll just have you. We'll just have you sing to that. All right, hold on. Here we go. Hold on. I think I may have it here.
Did you find an instrumental? I couldn't.
I think I may do. A guy sent me a page.
Let's see. How am I going to remember that? Well, I'll try.
I can't give the URL right now because everybody will,
I don't know the words.
Crash it.
Whatever.
All right. Oh, everybody knows it. Don't lie. All right, hold on. Let's see.
Make up your own words, Scotty.
All right, hold on. Let's see if this will play. Okay, it's sort of a... just give me a second. It's got a buffer. Buffer. In the meantime, hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
First of all, it's definitely Scott. Next of all, you should have him. He'll butcher it, but you should have him sing some song by the greatest band of all time. Iron Maiden. Thanks.
All right, thank you. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, it pains me to my soul to be on Scotty's side on this, but as a former amateur singer, that's him. If he says it's him. I mean, it could theoretically be somebody else, but it also sounds like it could possibly be him. So if he's saying it's him, I buy it.
That's a real convincing argument you put up, sir.
Yeah, no, I just meant if it was a random track that I heard, I wouldn't go, hey, that's Scotty J. But if it's Scotty J bringing the track in...
You're saying he has no motive to lie.
No motive to lie, and it's a potentially true...
Here's the thing. I don't think he's lying about it as such, but I think that in his vast collection, his archive of recordings, it's entirely possible that someone else's performance has been mixed in with all those songs, and he just thinks that it's him.
Well,
it was 20 years ago.
Okay, but I mean, if you're in a band, you're going to remember whether you were always the lead vocalist or not.
Well, that's true, but that was not... Now, the Simple Minds, though, that was not a band. That was a karaoke recording.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood. Okay, but I mean, I still...
There's two different kinds of recordings we're dealing with here. We have the CD from his band, and then we have his many karaoke stylings.
See, I thought the instrumental on the Simple Minds was a little better than we heard from Vital Signs, so that was confusing me. But now I understand what's going on.
That blew in the face of all your Vital Signs knowledge. All right, thank you, sir. All right, there you go. All right, Scotty.
Now, why would a person hold on to a karaoke cassette for 15 years of someone else?
Who's that? Oh, wait.
That's horrible.
Hold on. Let's see if there's lyrics. I thought this was instrumental. Hold on.
It's really not.
Oh, this is site's going to be a gold mine. I can already tell.
That's terrible.
I'm terrible. Shut your hole about what's terrible.
Do you want just
I'm
the regular?
Professional
right.
Terrible.
Hold on, let's see if this gets any worse.
I'm in my bedroom. I'm in the closet with a microphone.
I'm in your closets recording your songs.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Gold mine.
I was going to say, this wasn't... Yeah, that wasn't an instrumental, but boy, it ended up paying dividends anyway. All right.
You could find those with the words, but I like that U2 Mysterious Ways song.
Yeah, you know, I can't find that. So, Sarah, do you want to just fire up the regular Don't You Forget About Me? Because I don't think I have an instrumental here. All right. I'm sorry. That was me. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I already started it. It's nice and quiet, Scotty. Sing along.
Can you turn it up a little bit?
That's as high as it goes.
Won't you come see about me? I'll be alone. Dancing, you know it, baby.
You?
Me, your troubles and doubts. Given everything inside and out and love strange, so real in the dark. Think of the tender things that we were working on. The slow change may pull us apart.
When life gets into your heart, right. Baby.
Oh, okay. Don't do that again. All right. All right, let's stop.
I don't do that.
So all right. No, my first assistant is actually not. I don't know why this keeps happening. Jesus.
Sorry.
I don't know why this keeps happening.
Trying to pull down your computer.
No, it's done. I've got it turned off. First of all, you're not that bad. You're not a bad singer. I will say that. To be fair.
And you really try.
And you really give it your all. Mm-hmm. Secondly, you singing that now, I realized how few of the words to that song I actually know. Because as you were singing those, I realized, and I'm not going to do some stupid When a Man Loves a Walnut thing, but as you're singing that, I realized that over time, I've done what I think a lot of people do, which is I didn't really ever learn the words to that song. I just learned the sounds, if that makes sense. Because if actually, now that you've put a gun to my head now, I don't think I can tell you what most of the words are.
So you know the hey, hey, hey.
Yeah,
hey.
I mean, I know the chorus, and Sarah will tell you. There have been songs, actually, that Sarah and I both know, and I will come to Sarah after, like, 3 years, and I'll be like, you know, did you know that that song is about blah, blah, blah? And she'll be like, yeah, everybody knows that. And I'll be like, well, I never listened to the lyrics until yesterday. Lyrics don't really resonate with me much as the melody does. I'm more of a melody guy. So I really don't know the lyrics to that song, and I don't think I ever really did until, and I didn't realize that until you were just singing that. Thirdly, I don't even know if I had a thirdly. Oh, thirdly, okay, well, you may have just been singing that now. It still doesn't sound anything like you on this karaoke track that you
had. They had reverb. They had reverb and they had all that good stuff.
So, all right, so there you go. So, so thank you, Scotty.
Okay.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Still to come, Tim Riley at the bottom of the hour with the the AM 970 Ministry of Truth. Aaron Geek in the City Duran, Cross Country in 8. Top 5 songs released in 1977. Top 5 singles from 1977. And an exciting, not that exciting, bit of Shop Talk. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Rick Emerson Radio Program, proudly assembled in the United States by Robus. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up, Aaron Peake in the City Duran with his review of the excruciating, tedious, pointless Pirates of the Caribbean 3, which will do $200 million this weekend. Probably. What else? Top 5 songs from 1977. Top 5 singles released in 77. A little bit of Shop Talk. But before we do anything else, before we even begin the news segment, in fact, Tim Riley, I'm going to give you a little song. See how many notes it takes you to name this song. Now, let's see if I've got it. If I got it turned on.
I know it, but I don't know it. I'm stumped.
Do you not know this?
I don't think I do.
I'm going to play it for the beginning again because it's the beginning that'll tip you off of anything. This karaoke site is kind of fascinating because they force you to really recognize songs not by the particular recording but by the actual composition. Because, of course, the cover versions are played by some studio band. Just one more. Just roll the beginning again. It's got a little tracer notes at the beginning.
I keep thinking Harper Valley PTO.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Well, that was
my
first
song. I want to tell you all a story. About a Harper Valley widowed wife. Where, yes, exactly.
Is this Harper Valley PTA?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, they made that into a television series.
I saw that movie.
Yeah, they made it into a movie, and then it was made into a series starring, God, like Sandy Dennis or somebody terrible. All right,
I think it was Barbara Eden.
No. Barbara Eden?
I think so.
Starred in the TV series Harper Valley PTA?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I have to find out. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the Reverend Tim Riley.
From the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A stormtrooper and a TIE fighter pilot were on hand today at the Portland Post Office to hand out the brand new Star Wars stamps. They have R2-D2, C-3PO Sharky, Princess Leia, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Han Solo. Meanwhile, the governor is to speak this afternoon to a group of about 60 Oregon Army National Guard soldiers who came back from a long tour of Afghanistan. This is the largest deployment of Oregon National Guardsmen since back in World War II. Oregon schools will have strict nutrition standards for food and drinks sold in vending machines because a new law passed today that would ban food with fat or sugar.
What's left, really?
Really, what else are the kids supposed to eat?
Rocks?
Yeah, that bedding
food with fat and sugar.
How about a big bowl of wax?
Maybe.
I don't understand. How can you ban food with... Doesn't water have fat and sugar in it now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, yeah, all right. Whatever.
Silly people are.
All right, there you go.
Now, motorists traveling to the interior parts of Florida this holiday weekend are being warned to beware of swarming love bugs.
Is that code for something?
These love bugs splattered on the vehicle's windshield can cause the same impairment as smoke from wildfires.
Unless you know how to turn on your windshield wipers.
What do we know about love bugs here? Love bugs are a type of a small black fly, and they reach peak activity at 10 a.m. and stop flying at dusk.
Now, why are they called love bugs?
I don't know.
You don't have access.
Maybe they're amorous.
That's a footnote we don't have.
Residents of Clay County, Florida say they're victims of a colorful coup since peacocks have taken over their neighborhood. They're wreaking havoc, eating up yards, making a mess. The majestic birds have been coming out of the woods for decades, but now they're more than usual.
You know what's really frustrating is that nobody has ever answered this question about why you have peacocks in the suburbs, but they're not here in Portland. It doesn't make any sense at all.
There are peacocks in the West Hills.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's part of Portland.
That's what I'm saying. The Tony areas of Portland.
Yeah.
The upscale areas of Portland have peacocks. Meanwhile, I just have homeless guys crapping in my driveway. That's all I have, which is not like a peacock at all. So, why is it that the upscale areas of Portland have peacocks? And I mean this sincerely. Do they bring them in?
More than likely.
Are they bust in somehow with some sort of neighborhood beautification project?
Mm-hmm.
Are, in fact, peacocks even indigenous to North America? And if not, where do they come from? Who brought them in? Were they brought in by the city? And were they put in places like Tannisbourne and the West Hills just to beautify those areas?
Peacocks.
These are all things I wonder about.
Peacocks. Here's the Peacock Information Center. Let's check. The male peacock in full plumage is surely among the most beautiful and spectacular pheasants in the world.
Wait, hold on. I don't have any nature music. Let me see if we're getting a nature lesson.
They
here.
Are natives of southern Asia and Malaysia, and were kept for centuries by people first in China and then in Europe. So somebody had to bring them here.
Okay, hold on. Let me see if we can. Really appropriate, but go ahead.
The Indian blue peacock is commonly kept and bred in captivity by people across America and around the world. They're not expensive, and thousands of them are bought and sold every year. They are hardy and easy to keep, even in cold districts. You can see the tail of a beautiful peacock. Peacock feathers are extremely popular. They're used in crafts and decorations. You can feed a peacock the same as any other pheasant. The diet provided by many people include mixed grains, game bird crumbles, and a variety of greens.
Could this music be more inappropriate?
One peacock has lived to be 40 years old, so they do live a long life. And there is such a thing called the peacock, let's see here, peafowl breeding and management. That's a book about raising peacocks. So you too can raise them. Click here to order a magazine. Using our convenient and easy-to-use online payment form.
The best part is that was a total Ron Burgundy right there. Thank you, San Diego, and go F yourself. That was totally just a reading anything that happened to be put on the screen in front of me. Click here to order magazine. I like it. That was the last bit of peacock information to share.
Well, let's talk about holiday barbecuing, shall we? Because many will be taking part in this. A noted barbecuing expert doesn't have a preference when it comes to gas or charcoal grills.
Gas, grass, or charcoal.
It's really kind of a question of your temperament. If you're more result-oriented, destination-oriented, you might like the push-button convenience of gas. If you enjoy the process...
Sounds like Mr. Skin, only dull.
You probably enjoy charcoal.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Well, let's listen to Rosie fight some more.
I can understand how people might have thought that. Why don't you take this opportunity like I'm six?
Because you are an adult, and I am certainly going to be the person for you to explain your thoughts. They're your thoughts. Defend your own insinuations.
The fight continues.
Here's how it gets fun in the media. Rosie, big, fat, lesbian, loud Rosie, attacks innocent, pure Christian Elizabeth. And I'm not doing it.
Poor little Elizabeth is not poor little Elizabeth.
That's right. That's why I'm not going to play with you anymore, because it's absurd. So for 3 weeks, you can say all the Republican crap you want.
She won't be back.
No, she's been shown the door. I never thought I would say this, but you know what? Of all the people on that show, I mean,
I like Rosie O'Donnell in a weird way. I really do. How do you even describe the way that I feel about Rosie? How shall I describe?
Here's how it gets fun in the media. Rosie, big, fat, lesbian, loud Rosie, attacks innocent, pure Christian Elizabeth. And I'm not doing it.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? No, how do I describe the feelings I have for Rosie O'Donnell here? Because I don't think I'm alone. How do I put this?
I don't know.
I kind of love Rosie O'Donnell because...
everyone does.
Hear me out. I'm picking up on your sarcasm. Here's the thing about Rosie O'Donnell. I kind of love her because she says what she thinks. She's a smart woman. You got to give her that.
She's a Florida love bug.
She's... don't want to hit your windshield. She's smart. She says what she thinks. She isn't beholden clearly to anybody's idea of propriety. She says exactly what is on her mind. She puts stupid people in their place. Yet I don't want to hear her or see her or spend any time with her. So how do I don't even know how to describe it. So I kind of like the fact that she's out there and that she's out there doing her disruptive thing. I just don't want to have to hear it or see it. I guess that's it. I guess I sort of respect her in a weird way. I never thought I would say that. I guess that's the deal with me and Rosie O'Donnell. I don't really like Rosie O'Donnell as such. I don't want to ever have to be exposed to her, but I do respect Rosie O'Donnell. I guess that's really what it comes down to. She does, you know. I respect her as a business person, and I guess as a rouser of rabble. So, all right. Oh, wait, I think we might have a peacock answer here. Hold on. Hello, John, do you have an answer for us about peacocks?
Yeah, the common peacocks around here were introduced in the 60s and 70s, and their numbers have dwindled in the urban areas because the homeless eat them. They taste like chicken.
Are you screwing with us?
Yes.
Well done. Thank you. That was fantastic. All right, great.
I would imagine a peacock could put up quite a fight.
Well, I mean, those things, they'll claw you. They'll peck you. Mm-hmm. We've got this. Rick, Southeast doesn't have peacocks roaming around because somebody undoubtedly would set fire to them. Ha, 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 ha. Let's do one more, and then we got to do some other thing. We'll do a little shop talk. Then I see Dennis Pitzenbarger lurking in the hallway, like a big lurking thing.
Mary Kate Olsen's Noogie is a far cry from Full House. She's become an adult.
Her Noogie?
New gig.
Oh. I thought you were talking about something... perverse.
No, not here. She's set to join the Showtime series Weeds, which follows pot-dealing suburban mom Nancy Book. Nobody watches that show.
No.
All right, let's forget about it. Nobody's going to watch it. She's better off doing a Full House reunion.
Okay. Hey, so let's do a little bit of shop talk here, shall we?
Sure.
And then we'll talk to Dennis Pitzenbarger, who's going to talk about Scotty J, who will be co-hosting Miles Around tomorrow, 9 to 11. Let me put this over here. All right. So... CBS Radio just sent me this. They sent out to everybody.
I didn't get one.
No, this is a thing that went to. This is a thing that went to like some of the web design people, and then I got a copy of it as well.
Oh.
So CBS Radio, and again, we love working for CBS Radio, and I don't mean that sarcastically and in an Eddie Haskell kind of way. It really is true. CBS Radio treats us pretty well. There is a whole, but this is a massive bureaucratic company. There are all kinds of levels, and Tim the other day was looking for some. Was it because you were taking a day off or something? And Tim's like, how do I take the day off? I'm like, well, you go on this Ike system, which is this online database of forms.
It's guaranteed not to let you find anything ever. And then you go ask Dave Zinn after you quit.
And Dave goes, oh, I didn't find Mr. Riley. I'll get you a copy of that.
He gave me two copies.
The best thing is Tim's taking the day off on like the 8th or something. It's like a week and a half from now. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'll start looking now because you'll never find the file. CBS is so huge. There are so many divisions and subdivisions and regional West Coast under a assistant supervisors that, I mean, there's a whole wing of this company. I've never even talked to them or heard of them, and they're just the digital wing of the company. It's a whole separate section of the company that
nobody knows what that part of the company does.
No, it's new media, Tim.
They send out emails every weekend.
Tim, it is new media.
I suppose.
I don't know what it means, but that's what the wing of the company deals with. The other thing they do is they look at our web pages, and they, I swear to God, as though we were children, they send out a report card about our web pages, grading our web pages A, B, C, D, and F. So, I would like to share with you now. What do you think 970.am received?
At least a B. No.
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 No. An A.
Who wants? No.
Wrong direction?
Yes, it's not an option. No. Try the other direction. Try the other way.
D plus.
No.
Oh.
better.
Oh.
No. No, I don't want to hear about that now.
Right here. It lists all the stations in Portland. I won't list what the other stations got. I won't give that. Would be, it's not my place. But I will list the other stations without giving their name. Here are the grades that the Portland stations, and we here at CBS Radio Portland, we have, what is it, six radio stations? Is that it? Six, I think.
At least six.
Yeah.
Seven.
A, C, B, C, B, F. Pick case. Pick AM970 out of the lineup there. F.
Did anybody else get an F?
No. It's just us.
That means we're doing something right, my friend.
We're swimming against the current. So,
what don't they like?
Well, it sounds like everything. It sounds like us and everything we do. So, by the way, if you go to AM, if you go to, I keep wanting to say AM970.com. If you go to 970.am, I mentioned that we're going to be having an almost live stream that we're going to launch. We are going to be reconfiguring the website, but we've put a little, so if you go to 970 and there's a little note there, we've put a little note just apologizing for the terrible website. If you go to 970.am, you'll just see a little splash page there that...
I didn't think it was that bad.
Well, if only you worked in the digital new media department or whatever the hell it is. So that explains... If you go to 970.am, that explains the little note that's up there. That side will be addressed. We'll be dealing with that at some point in the near future. So there you go. Until then, we...
I don't see what's wrong with it.
We're so very... Well, it's an F, Tim.
Does that mean fine?
Yeah, it means fantastic. It's an F for freaking great is what it's an F for. All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from miles around 9 to 11. 2 hours of fantastic automotive discussion. Dennis Pitzenberger. Hello, Dennis. How are you today?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm dandy.
Wandering the somewhat empty halls of CBS Radio.
Yeah, this place is emptied out. I mean, coming up on a holiday weekend.
It makes it nice for the parking.
So now, tomorrow, 9 to 11, you will not be accompanied by the crumb-leaving Matt Peterson.
I thought we handled that.
No.
No?
No, we handled the fact that you were stringing the studio with flammable materials.
That's old news.
Tim still comes in here and there's chunks of things and a fine sheen of grease all over his computer keyboard when he comes in.
Well, I throw a piece of plastic down, kind of Gallagher-esque style, to try to keep controlling Matt. Yeah.
Should have dropped cloth over the whole... All right. So tomorrow, it will not be you and Matt Peterson hosting Miles Around. It will be you and...
Scotty J. This is David Cassidy.
You
don't know what else to say, except...
I'm not going to amount to
death! Squad! Please up, Scotty.
End of message.
Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show again for like the 70th time today, our intrepid PA, Scotty J. Hello,
Scotty. How are you doing?
How are you doing, Scotty?
I'm doing...
Microphone is off. You got to turn your mic on.
That's already scary.
You're going to have a fun day tomorrow.
It's only this one that I have that problem because this one's always on.
That's where you're going to be sitting tomorrow.
Really?
So here's the thing. I've mastered the microphone on-off business maybe before you go home today.
Maybe I'll practice a little bit tonight. Yeah.
Take a little time to figure that out. All right. So any last words, final thoughts, observations? What is he expected to do tomorrow
on
the program?
Well, really, if it was in place of Mr. Peterson, he would, obviously eat donuts. Eat donuts and surf the porn sites. I gave him a rundown of what we do on the show, which we do a new car review. We talk about race news. I'm going to have a guest in, this guy Nick, who does event planning for car guys, and kind of do some general industry news and all the stuff we always do.
Now, Scotty, is this going to be your first time co-hosting a radio program?
Pretty much.
This is your first. Now, I'm not trying to embarrass you, but this is now this.
I wouldn't even say co-hosting. I'd say I'm just kind of a little guest.
No. You're a co-host.
Co-host. You're in there.
You got to pull half of the weight. Now, Scotty, but this is here on AM 970. This is your first radio job, is it not?
Right.
Okay.
Other than high school, which was not a job.
Now, is that what this air check is right here?
Yes.
Scotty's given us a few things today.
Maybe I should have listened to this before I made my decision.
Well, that ship has sailed. We've got eight things here. We've got Scotty's live band, Vital Signs. We've got three of his karaoke tracks. And then this thing labeled Scotty J 83 Air Check. So where is this air check from, Scotty?
That's from my high school.
All right. And so what is playing?
So it kind of starts out, I believe.
What are we going to hear?
Well, it starts out with a commercial that I did. And then it's just your everyday... DJing.
So this is when you were 16.
Yeah, basically 16, and I...
This is clean?
It's clean, yeah. I just didn't know what to say. So you're going to hear a commercial first.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, now I'd like you to hang back a minute, Scotty, and just let us listen to this without comment. So this is, ladies and gentlemen, the next thing you hear is a 16-year-old Scotty J, and this is a high school age. What was the name of your radio station?
KSPRK Spartan Radio.
Spartan Radio?
Okay.
This Friday for a special concert just for you. It's U2. Then they're off to this year's Us Festival.
Okay, first of all,
so cute.
Did you refer to them as U2? Isn't that what the kids are watching all of their videos on now? U2. Okay.
U2.
All right.
You don't want to be held captive and miss out on this year's special concert. Charge, and that's $11 and $12 reserved seating at all Portland Paramounts to get out less. You too can join in on the fun. You too.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Friday, May 27th, reserved seating. Brought to you by the John Bauer Concert Company and KSPR.
Put it this way, KSPR rocks the AM Northwest.
I don't understand what's happening here. It's just a collection of songs. You're not actually DJing any of these.
You can talk.
Just to let it progress, it was a teaser, and then I DJed.
Oh, I see. The station promotion music that they play.
Brought to you by KSPR, your new music headquarters.
Somebody.
The date is 5/26/1983. How you doing? In a few minutes, I will be on the air. I got to cue up a song real fast here.
Oh, my God, that is adorable. I was 3 when he was doing this.
Please don't take this the wrong way. Had you entered puberty when you recorded this? Because you sound...
I looked like I was about 10.
Even for a 16-year-old, you sound very young here. You sound very... Your voice is very... I'm not trying to poke fun. Mine doesn't sound any better. You sound very young here.
I'm Scott, and we're going to start it off with some Sticks, Double Life, I do believe, off their new Kilroy Was Here album.
How
you doing, Scott? Here, it's 5:08. Got a new one from Ultravox. Like I said, coming up this hour, we got some Judas Priest and some Pete Townsend and a little bit more. So stick around. 5:08 our time. 5:09. Excuse me. Ultravox on your app.
That's such a DJ thing. That's such a young kid DJ thing that you have to correct the time. You give it as 5:08, but it's really 5:09. I got to go back, and people are depending upon me for this information. And then you fast forward to now in 2007, when Tim and I routinely make up news stories and never bother to correct it when we say that somebody's, you know, we say we give completely inaccurate information about someone, and just we just roll with it. You going to correct it? Nah.
Your afternoon, Scott, talking right with you. The Woodburn High School Dregs are this Saturday. Gates open at 12. Races begin at 4 o'clock. Sounds like a lot of people are going to be working hard this weekend, especially out in the sun.
But did you actually hit the power from it?
KSPR.
Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong here. This is we have to break. Are you using this effect? The effect that I'm hearing here with the echo, is that the same effect that I used when I was in high school radio, where as you are recording it, you are potting up the source to which you are recording to do the poor man's reverb chamber?
Exactly. That's and it was all reel to reel, and I had to cut every single one of those, you know, going into this song. It was basically cutting reel to reel tape.
That is exactly the same trick we used to use at high school radio, where if you wanted to put a little fake reverb at the end of a show, like we would do it at the end of Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd, because it fades out. But instead, we would reverb it out with like a ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Yeah. And by potting up the source that you were recording to, like potting up through the regular... Yeah, that's an old-school radio thing. You can't do that anymore, though. It's not set up to let you do that these days. Well, believe it or not, we're only 2 minutes into a 10-minute air check. We'll play the rest later. Tim's got to hear some of this. But then tomorrow, though, is going to be your very first co-hosting duties on a radio talk program.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about it.
Are you nervous?
I just want to do a little research this evening, so I'm up on the particular vehicle.
I'm going to give you a little advice. The key is, whenever there is the slightest pause or hesitation when Dennis talks, you want to jump in with a comment. You want to jump in with an observation. Doesn't matter if it has anything to do with the topic at hand. Anytime Dennis hesitates for even a second, you should open your mouth and say whatever's on your mind.
The end of the show, it would be strangling me.
Yes, have fun with that, Dennis.
I have nothing to say. I think you'll be fine. I got like 20 pages of prep for him, so he'll know what I'm talking about. So he won't just be standing, staring blindly at me like a deer in the headlights.
All right. There you go. Miles Around tomorrow, 9 to 11. Dennis Pitchenbarger with special co-host Scotty J.
If you go, I will say this. I did load up the MySpace and the website, milesaround.com, with special links to Scotty J's MySpace page. So if you want to, you know, hire him for outside work past this fine air check.
Yeah, we'll get right on that.
Okay.
All right, 9 to 11 tomorrow, Miles Around, Dennis Pitchenbarger and Scotty J. You stay there. Back after this, Aaron Geek in the City, Duran around the corner. More from Tim Riley in the top five. It's Friday. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay right there. Colossal retards. Hello. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Moe is their leader. 503-733-2970. This just in. Another Rick Emerson Show prediction comes true. Dateline, Beerwah, Australia. Mindy Irwin wants her new TV show to continue the educational and conservation work of her father, the late crocodile hunter Steve Irwin. I'm proud to be showing kids that conservation and helping wildlife is a whole stack of fun. The 8-year-old creepy Bindi said Friday. It's just the most amazing thing we could ever do, she said. Irwin's widow, Terry, said her husband would have been very proud of his daughter's debut. The series will air on Discovery Kids Channel in the United States. I think he would have said, crikey, I can't wait for Bindi to take over, Terry Irwin said. Blah, 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 blah. Bindi, oh, listen to this. You want to hear? Okay, let's welcome before we do anything else. Do we have the Star Wars? Today of all days, that ought to be the appropriate. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From geekinthecity.com and filmfeverradio.com, our good friend Aaron Geek in the City Duran. Hello, sir.
Hello. How's it going?
What are the...
I can't hear myself at all in these things.
Have you turned up the volume?
Yes.
Oh, okay. How you doing over there?
I'm doing good.
Hey, what are the odds of successfully navigating an asteroid field?
3,300 men turned to one.
Cool.
Although you're never supposed to tell me the odds.
Oh, God. There
right.
we go.
Today of all days.
No, it's... Come on.
Wait, can I guess the title of her show?
There's two.
Oh.
She has Bindi the Jungle Girl, which is the ongoing series that premieres June 9th on the Discovery Kids channel. And then, everybody will know this, what is the inevitable... the inevitable manipulative special that will be aired? June 8th on the Animal Planet channel.
Remembering Papa?
I don't know. My Daddy the Croc Hunter.
Oh.
Hosted by 8-year-old Bindi Irwin.
I was hoping for Bindi. Croc Hunter the Next Generation.
No. I was thinking Bindi. I keep thinking of Indy.
Bindi, my friend! I'm so pleased you're not dead. All right. Aaron Geek in the City Duran joining us for the Star Wars 30th anniversary thing, but
it is a bit of kismet.
It is. It's just a fortuitous coincidence.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before we do anything else, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Hello. Hey.
Yeah, I had an observation for you. You know, usually you make fun of Scotty and, you know, usually deserves it and stuff. But
sure.
Today, you've been kind of mean to him.
I'm in no way being mean to Scotty.
Well, it's just not that becoming to you. And I just kind of want to point that out. Because, you know, I met Scotty once and he looks like a, you know, he looks smart, you know, but God, on the radio, he doesn't come across like that.
Maybe I'm missing the point.
I just wanted to say, today you've been, seems like you've been mean to Scotty. It's not very becoming to you, and I thought maybe you could maybe change your tone. That's all.
Now, what have we done today that you find to be especially mean to Scotty? Because I think we've treated Scotty today the same way we do all the time.
Well, you have made compliments, but...
I said that he was a good singer.
Hey, I don't know. It's just... Just what I thought. I mean, I'm just completely wrong.
I'm just saying, there's no need to be defensive, Dave. Just saying, based upon what examples, in other words, what would you say that we've done today that was especially mean to Scotty? Because I don't view our treatment of Scotty today as being especially mean. I think we've been very complimentary to Scotty.
Okay. Well, do you think, would you remember what you said 30 seconds or 10 minutes ago?
I think perhaps more than some.
No, okay. Well, I don't, you know, I can't remember, you know, exact examples.
That's
overall tone.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, to, you know, if you don't want to take my advice, that's fine.
Really?
No problem.
Excellent. Done and done. All right.
Somebody started the long weekend early.
Seriously. I don't know where he's calling from, but I'll guarantee you there's... All right. It's 503-733-2970. You know, it sounded like he was calling from a bingo parlor. Speaking of which,
I have... Spice Mines of Kessel. It's the day. I can't...
No, you got it. You got to do it. Now, well, before we do anything else, let's plug. So,
yeah.
You guys today, or when is it? When is the Film Fever Radio Star Wars commentary?
We are doing it tomorrow, so it'll be up next week.
And it's... I thought it was all six films, but it's not.
No.
It's just the original trilogy.
Yeah, just Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi.
And so, who all is attending the Star Wars commentary?
We have a huge revolving cast. It's myself, Scott Daly, Kat, Diana from downtown, the Vantage Twin guys are going to be there. I do believe Mailman Chris will be popping by.
Clyde
will be there.
Of course.
Boba Fett's going to pop in. And I also think Fat Boy from your sister station will also be making
really?
An appearance. Yeah.
Actually, good for him. I may drift in later in the evening. I won't
yeah.
be in the early
We're hour. Actually hoping that people drift in and out because it's just human.
Thanks for coming. Please don't stay.
Don't hang around. One movie per person.
Yeah. All right. And then this will be posted on your website?
Yeah. Hopefully, it'll be on the all new and improved Film People Radio. We're going to have to upgrade the site to handle all these commentaries at once. So.
Fantastic. Let's get a couple calls on this. Speaking of, hello, our good friend Boba Fett. Chris, what's up, sir?
Hey, I was just had a question for Aaron. What versions of the trilogy are you
going
to
Good point. Is this the special editions or the original theatrical releases? Oh,
I was pushing, because you know that I own the Laserdisc Burns.
So do I.
Yeah, the ones that every true fan should own.
Theatrical DVDs.
However,
yes.
We did actually put it to the listeners, and we got emails and MySpace comments, and we let them pick, and they picked the special editions.
Well, what kind of retards would pick a special edition?
Maybe.
Look, they're not my listeners, they're yours, so I can make fun of them.
The special ones that you're riding your bike for, those are the ones that are requested the special edition.
Fantastic. There's two reasons why I think this
the special edition Olympics.
Why?
Why would anybody pick the special editions? Why would anybody pick the special editions?
Because, A, that would be the one that gets me the most angry as I drink more and more.
Oh, I see. So you can bitch about Han shooting.
Yeah, and B, that's the one most people own. That's the problem.
I see. Oh, well, that makes sense, actually, because they won't be able to... Because if the goal for them is to eventually download the commentary and listen to it as they watch their own movies, they won't be able to do that because most people don't own the DVD box.
Yeah, most people... Well, we're complaining about, you know, Luke's
right.
training or whatever.
They'll watch somewhere else. Yeah, okay. No, that makes sense. Okay, I can see that. Okay, for purposes of satisfying the audience, I can see that. All right.
Although I'm not happy about it.
Purposes right. of crap continuity.
Yeah, okay. No, I can see that. All right, excellent. All right, thank you. Okay, fantastic. And we'll see you there tomorrow, sir.
All righty. Happy there birthday, Star Wars, and all that fun stuff.
Thank you. There you go. All right, let's see. What else? Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Holy crap, dude. That guy that just called about Scotty J, that has to go down as the whiniest call ever.
He sounded like, and we were just talking about Maureen Dowd from the New York Times. He sounded like, when I was trying to explain how she sounds like, he sounded like he didn't have a nose, like he just had slushy breathing holes in the front of his mouth. Going, Scotty.
And I don't think we can't really blame starting the weekend early. For that, I think it's a character problem.
Yes, a character, and I believe a nasal problem of some sort of a collapsed septum is to blame for that.
Oh, so. Without a doubt. I was really kind of disappointed that we didn't hear the Scotty J audio any sooner, because I think it could have been submitted for the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Absolutely. No, we're gonna play some more of his air check today, though, in preparation for his and here's the thing, on Saturday morning, and don't get me wrong, I listen to the station a lot. I love talk radio. I'm not much of a car guy, but Dennis knows what he's talking about. Dennis is pretty funny. That Miles Around show, formerly known as the Fuel Show, I listen to it if I happen to be up. A lot of times I am not up, though, or I'm just up and I'm laying on my sofa in a somnambulistic state, having not taken any caffeine. I'm going to be listening tomorrow to hear Scotty J co-hosting a radio program on a real radio station.
You got to listen to Walt just fall flat on his ass.
Now, see, don't give him negative affirmations, sir.
You know what, though? Do it definitely, Scotty J, you definitely do it hungover. Please, by all means.
Dennis does. Why not Scotty?
That'll up the amusement quotient tenfold.
Yeah, why should Scotty be the only sober one on the show? I mean, really, honestly.
Why any of us, for that matter? He and
is,
I'm done.
He all is right, cleaner than Matty Buttons.
And I'm out. No, it's true. He's not going to...
Does he really still go by Matty Buttons?
I don't know.
I thought we had to call him Matty Buttons.
I know. He gave himself that nickname, I think, and so he just he's insisting on sticking with it. All right. Sarah, what are we going to do? We got Tim at the bottom of the hour with the news. I got the top five here. And we got Aaron's review of Pirates 3.
Yeah.
And so, and we have two more breaks. So, what do we do right now?
Why don't we do the top five?
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Going out of the way.
Might as well get it out of the way.
All right. Hey, you want to count down the top five?
Yeah, why not?
Right. What is the top five today?
Well, top five singles released in
1977. Yeah. I thought we were going to do depressing songs today.
No, but that's only with Scott Daly.
Okay.
That's only when Scott's here so we can play Cats in the Cradle.
When his son's not here.
All right. You're going to like this top five. Screw you. Stop
five,
on good.
4, 3, 2, 1, uh-huh. Fire.
Wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting is the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy.
Ooh, I like this. Now I'm going to say, my original intent today was to do the top five songs in the country as of whatever the hell this is, May 25th, 1977. I was going to do these are the top five songs on May 25th, 1970. That's 30 years ago today. I forgot my copy of Joel Whitburn's Billboard Top 5 list, so I wasn't able to do that. Even though it's going to be late, I'll do it on Monday. On Monday, I will do the songs that were in the top five this day, the day that Star Wars was released.
Although they probably weren't that good.
No, they were crap.
Yeah.
So what I've done instead is I have actually selected, in the opinion of me, Rick Emerson, the top five singles released in 1977, the year that Star Wars first was foisted upon an American public. So take it away, Aaron Duran is Joe Don Baker, is Mitchell, is Tim Riley.
And it was on this day in 1977 that the greatest sci-fi franchise of all time was born into theaters with the release of Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope. Elsewhere in the world of art, it was a mixed bag, although not all the news was bad. Let's examine these, the top five songs released in 1977. Honorable mention is Kiss, Calling Dr. Love.
Just so I could play Calling Dr. Love. Calling Dr. Love is honorable mention because it is one of the cheesiest rock songs ever recorded. Especially when they do on the chorus, they do the little thing... They do the thing on the chorus where I think it's Ace Frehley doing the backup vocals. And they process his vocals so he sounds like one of those nurses on the overhead intercom. Also because I wonder if anybody really ever did call Gene Simmons Dr. Love and if that's where he got the title for the song. Like, I wonder if he was with some woman. She's like, oh, you're like Dr. Love. And I just pictured Gene leaning over, like, writing it down in a spiral notebook.
Gene Simmons is Dr. Love.
Yeah. Is that calling Dr. Love to ER? Also, I wonder if it's maybe not something that was volunteered to him. I wonder if it's just something Gene decided he wanted to be called one day.
Give himself a nickname?
Seriously. Well, you can do that when you're Gene.
When you're Gene Simmons, you can give yourself a nickname you want.
I'm glad to do that. This is the best, worst song ever. These are the top five singles released in 1977.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes. Hi. Hello.
At number five, we have, this should have been higher, Queen, Tie Your Mother Down.
Great song. Great band. We say this every time we play anything by Queen, but God damn, they're fantastic. Anybody who doesn't like Queen is a bad person.
They have no soul,
no heart, removed from the gene pool.
Tie your mother down, give me all your love too.
five songs released in 1977.
Number four, we have Meatloaf. You took the words right out of my mouth.
You'll know, by the way, that I chopped off the introduction. The
worst 49 seconds ever.
Seriously, you want to talk about a fantastic, nearly flawless record ruined by about 49 seconds of dialogue. Well, how much more of a Springsteen song could this be? Which is in turn stolen from the Crystals. Even on my MP3 player, I don't own a single version of the song that has that intro on it still. I've cut it off of everything but the vinyl, and I'd cut it out of the vinyl if I could. This is one of the best songs ever recorded. I would say the same thing goes for Meatloaf that went for Queen. If you don't like Meatloaf, you are a terrible human being. And you'll go in the book.
The book of hate?
Right here. I have one of those.
Really?
Is anybody in the book yet?
Yeah, I got a couple of names. I got a couple of names.
Mine's called The Book of Vengeance. They'll get theirs.
No, see, the Rick Emerson show doesn't advocate, we don't advocate violence.
That's
wait,
fine.
Wait for it. Big chorus here. And such cheesy lyrics, but he totally sells it, man. I love this song. You know, I gotta tell you this. Here's the thing about Bad Outta Hell. The thing about this record is, I don't care where you grew up or what your actual adolescence was really like. I don't care what your day-to-day existence as a teenager really was. When you grew up, what town you're from, this is what your adolescence felt like at a certain point. That's the thing that Bat Outta Hell does almost better than any record ever made, is they conjure up what it feels like to be an adolescent. I mean, that's... Everybody, if you had any sort of American childhood at all, this is what adolescence feels like. It feels like this record, this entire album. I mean, probably better than any record I own. Boy, how great is that? Top five singles released in 1977.
Moving on to number three, we've got Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers' American Girl.
I didn't know this song was this old.
Yeah. Me either.
Yeah. I love this song.
Yeah, it's off his debut album. I think this is the opening track on this album, too. Which, in turn, means I think this is the first thing the world ever heard from Tom Petty, which is great. I mean, you can do far worse than to open your career with this song.
And every time I see him, this is always his encore song.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's a classic. I mean, it's, as they used to sing classic rock, it's a stone classic. I mean, what a great opening line to a song, to an album. She was an American girl raised on promises. So great.
To make a mixtape,
uh-huh.
I would always open with this song and then close with Mary Jane's Last Dance because they make this perfect kind of creepy bookend.
Totally. Counting down the top five singles released in 1977, the year that Star Wars came out.
At number two, we've got Aerosmith, Back in the Saddle.
Great way to open an album, too. This is a live bootleg version. Open an album, open a concert. Just stand back in the saddle, and it's got that great build. This live bootleg is a fantastic live record too. All right, running behind, so we got to counting down the top
five singles released in 1977.
All right, number one, Peter Gabriel's Salisbury Hill.
I'd say hands down, if I had to create my top 10 pop songs of all time, this would go there. This would go in the top 10.
I haven't heard this song in years.
Are you kidding me?
I love it. I haven't heard it in so long.
I mean,
own it.
This is. I would put this up there with. To me, Peter Gabriel is a lot like Paul Simon. I mean, he writes really, I think, like the closest thing to gospel that you could ever find in secular music.
Yeah.
This song is all about him. This song's about him leaving Genesis. And it was about how he couldn't figure out whether to leave Genesis or not. And this song is about his decision to move on and leave the band behind. I was in Safeway the other day, like 2 in the morning, and they were playing the worst techno version of this. It was like the Dance Dance Revolution version of this. And it was all like... and it was like some weird like Asian woman singing. She was hitting like every third word.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was awful.
Wings high-pitched daughter.
Totally. Back after this with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. We got more of your phone calls on the way. Someone who saw Star Wars on its real opening day. And we have a phone call from somebody who saw Vital Signs perform live. Back in the day. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show after this on AM 970. Solid State Radio will continue.
Hello! This is the Rick Emerson Radio program!
It's not that loud.
Whoa. Do I have Tim's headphones now?
What?
It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. And now, once again...
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
All those arsonists thought they were having fun, did they? Well, the police wiped the smiles off their faces and arrested three of them for torching those cars in Southeast. And now we find out that one of those arrested, Dennis Pinicello Jr., has a long rap sheet, including felony charges dating back to 1998. Some of his convictions include an unlawful use of a motor vehicle.
What's his name?
Pinicello.
What sort of name is Pinicello?
It sounds Italian to me. But his dad says he's mildly retarded.
That's what I was implying, of course. Is that, ow, wait, ow.
Ooh, that must have hurt.
What are you doing?
Sorry.
That's what you get.
I was just saying, anybody who has set fire to cars must be mildly retarded. That's my point. Well, listen to this.
They try to get him some type of help for his mental health issues. It never seems to happen. So instead, the state doesn't care.
Instead, they just gave him some matches and sent him home.
Yes.
Here you go.
Rick, a co-worker here, says that she knows the woman who torched all those cars in the ever-classy Southeast. She said the girl has always been getting into some sort of trouble and is a couple slices short of a loaf, and so forth. But it was a woman, and then this guy?
The guy with a scowl on his face.
On his
face. That's the mentally retarded one.
Oh, mildly retarded.
They both look like guys.
That's a woman?
Yeah.
Now get out.
Yeah, it is.
That's no woman.
That's a woman from Southeast.
That's no woman. That's my wife.
Oh, wow. I'm looking at a picture of her.
Dennis Pinicello Jr. Yeah, he seems...
mildly retarded.
Oh, is he scabs on his face?
That's dried spaghetti sauce.
What is up with her face? I mean, seriously, come on.
I don't know.
That is, usually you see this kind of face digging for truffles in Britain. That's all I'm saying. Well, heavens. Yo, boy, the other photo doesn't... She didn't look better in that one either. Mm. None of these photos make her look very good. I keep closing my eyes and then looking at the picture again, hoping it'll somehow come into
focus.
Well,
it's not a photo session from Sears. They're not glamour shots by any means.
I suppose. That is true. Fantastic.
Bindi the Jungle Girl premieres June 9th on the Discovery Film Channel. She's a cruel little girl whose dad was a crocodile hunter, and she never shed a tear during any time after his death. She had a big grin on her face throughout.
She's not human.
I don't think she is.
What kind of name is Irwin, anyway?
What kind of name is Bindi?
Seriously.
Gumby's sidekick?
Zing!
You should get a radio show.
I could. I wasn't prepared for that. Well done.
Maybe you could be a guest host on a Saturday morning.
Come on, Bindi!
Mark and Bindi.
Mark and Bindi. Boy, it really is time for the weekend.
I think that's enough out of me. I think that's as bad as it gets. That's, Tim Riley. Oh, I forget I'm not leaving, am I?
No, Tim will be here.
Not by any means.
No, but hang out for just a second, Tim. Don't go anywhere quite yet. By the way, Tim Riley's here at the top of the hour all the way through. Like us 4, 5, 6, and 7. Let's hear just a little bit more of speaking.
Races begin at 4 o'clock. Sounds like a lot of people are going to be working hard this weekend.
Scotty J.
Is he one of the Musketeers?
Totally.
Coming up this hour on KSBR. These three and many more coming up this hour on KSBR.
I can just see their top 40 survey with picture Scotty in his underwear.
Totally.
Join Scotty and DJ.
In the main office, bring your $50. Seems like a waterlogged mountain in Nevada gave away Monday. And a shift cool down
for
crews battling a rush of fires. And the Philadelphia 76ers will be trying to get the monkey off their back. All these stories and more coming up this hour.
Oh, that's a tease.
Mm-hmm. Portland Metropolitan forecast. We're expecting a partial clearing period Tuesday with a cloudy chance of showers Tuesday night and Wednesday. Highs in the mid-60s, lows in the 50s to 55. Winds northwest 5 to 12 miles an hour with a chance of miserable rainfall. 10% Tuesday, 20% Tuesday night.
Seriously, I like that song.
It's so cute to hear somebody young thinking that they're really responsible for conveying important information to the audience.
Uh-huh.
They're really there to inform.
I think we've all been there at some point.
Well, you were saying you have your high school air checks.
I don't know what happened to them, though.
But I mean, are they somewhere in your possessions? You just don't know where?
No, I don't know what became of them.
See, me either. I have no idea. I have two things missing. I have my high school air check, which is missing, and I only had one, a cassette tape.
Mm-hmm.
It leads off with me playing Wild Side by Motley Crue. That's all I remember about it. And then I had a T-shirt from my high school station. It was like some guy in a screen printing class down the hall made it for me. And I swear to God, it was like a demon skull with a guitar rammed through it. It was so great. Oh, and it was on fire. It was a skull of a demon with horns, had a guitar, like a Stratocaster through it, and then there were flames on top of it, and it was gray on green, like on mint green. It was terrible. The worst shirt ever. I would give anything to have that still.
I remember back in the day, playing the Bee Gees and Kung Fu Fighting.
Really?
Top 40 songs. Like Barry Manilow, who was considered top 40 back then.
And I wish I had those air checks.
Yeah, I don't know where they went to.
They were hot. Listen to just a second more here, and then we'll do this Glorious Bastard of the Week, then we'll break.
Tuesday night, here's Greg Kin off his Kinspiracy album, Jeopardy.
Jeopardy!
Oh.
Betty was very excited.
Yes, you do make me feel alive, Rio. I'm Scott KSPR. It's 5:41 right now. It's time for me to be going. Sorry, not going to have those hits for you. Ah, what a bummer. I'll talk to you tomorrow, though. Thanks for listening.
Scotty still says stuff like
that's
that.
The best of Billy Joel. It's 329, 50 degrees outside, and I am freezing. But I guess that's okay.
Probably weighs like 15 pounds.
You probably don't have any sympathy for DJs.
I do. I have lots of sympathy for DJs.
Of course, we get paid.
Is that Scotty talking to himself in a kooky voice?
He's
doing a voice.
Yes, please.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's okay. You probably don't have any sympathy for DJs.
I do. I have lots of sympathy for DJs.
Of course, we only get paid.
Or is that just another scrawny teenage boy?
Well, that's who gets involved in radio.
It's his friend Pat. Was that Pat McCrotch? I'm trying to do the authentic 15-year-old boy humor.
Hey, the minimal amount.
That's nothing here.
Yeah, I suppose.
And then right into slam right into the song. All right, well done. Real quickly before we do this, let's see. Mike, you've seen Scotty's band Vital Signs live.
I have. Hey, I gotta say, that sounded like the two kids from Weird Science when they're in the bathroom.
Totally. Putting bras on their head.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, a couple things. That is Scotty J on the karaoke. I've karaoke'd with him before. He is good. He's got a good voice.
Should be your opening line with everybody you meet. I've karaoke'd with Scotty J before.
That's it. Be famous.
How was the Vital Signs live?
You know, these guys really didn't have... I mean, I know they didn't practice very long. I showed up at that party. They were actually pretty damn good. I was surprised.
He's not a bad singer. I have to say that. He's not a bad singer.
Scotty can carry a tune.
No, I mean, everybody was cheering them on. I mean, it was a fun party. They did real well for not having, like I said, just getting together. I mean, it was amazing.
All right, then. All right,
One more thing.
Yes,
I have a picture of the band. I can't get it to you until Monday, but Scott, he's wearing these bell-bottom pants. He looks like Daryl Hall. It's
Monday will be fine, sir. The office is closed, but we'll be around. You give us a call. We'll let you in.
No, I was going to send you a picture.
That's what I'm saying. Are you going to send? Are you going to email it to us? Or are you going to drop it off?
I'm going to email.
Oh, then that's fine. You know what? Then email it to rick@rickemerson.com, sir.
You got it, man.
Thank you, my friend.
All right.
I'll tell you what. So let me do this glorious bastard of the week. We'll break around the corner. We'll get a real quick comment from Scott Daly and so forth. Let me just, without further ado. Greetings and salutations, Devlin Carruthers. You are being addressed at this moment because you, yes, you, have been selected as the AM 970 Glorious Bastard of the Week, with all the rights and privileges that entails. In addition to the envy of your fellow man, you'll receive a bountiful cornucopia of swag from the AM 970 pile of crap, including a pair of Champ Car race tickets, as well as the wonderful knowledge that, for at least this one week, you are just a little bit better than everyone else. Enjoy your newly elevated status, and don't hesitate to lord it over the less fortunate. After all, that's why God created the less fortunate. Thank you for listening, Devlin Carruthers. You are the Glorious Bastard of the Week. If you'd like to become a Glorious Bastard of the Week, which, by the way, will put you in the running for tickets to see Body Worlds 3 at OMSI, go to the poorly designed and maintained 970.am. This is the Rick Emerson Show. Saddest part of the broadcast and the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Don't forget, we'll be here Monday because we are lifeless. Coming up next, Tom Likas, Donna Mike at 7. Don't forget, tomorrow, Car and Driver Radio, live 6 to 9, followed by Miles Around with Dennis Fitzmarker and special co-host, one day only, Scotty J, ladies and gentlemen. Here with Aaron Duran from GeekInTheCity.com and FilmFeverRadio.com. In just a moment, we'll talk to your compatriot, Scott Daly. So, we got this email a few minutes ago from this girl, Bobby. Who had never seen Star Wars.
Bobby.
Yeah, what am I going to do?
Sorry.
Never seen Star Wars, but it's for the weirdest reason. It's because her dad was such a Trek fan, he felt that it was an affront to Roddenberry. I want to interview the dad.
Yeah, he sounds like a freak.
What a weird household to grow up in. I forbid you to... And then so she snuck out to try to see part of Jedi, and she was grounded because her dad thought she was blaspheming Star Trek.
Well, I'd ground her for seeing Jedi first, I guess.
You'd ground her?
I'd ground her.
Yeah.
I'd take her to the Sarlacc pit.
I was going to make a Sarlacc pit reference earlier. All right. Well, ew. So,
didn't she write?
So she has included a photograph. So here's the awkward part.
Yeah.
Scotty. Scotty, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's because I always call Scott Daly. Scotty's right there. Here's the awkward part, Aaron. Is the lovely Jen going to be around tomorrow?
No.
Well, see, maybe it's not so awkward.
She never comes in.
Bobby's hot. Bobby's all kinds of hot.
Okay, let's look at it.
Okay, let me just open this. Hold on, I've closed. Let me just open this up here. Close my computer in case this.
Wonder if Bobby's daddy dressed her as an Orion slave.
Stop it now.
Oh, I know this one.
Yeah.
This one.
I know. You're like my friend who used to say about girls, I'm going to get its phone number. Let me see if I can log in here. Hold on.
Log in.
I'm going to get its phone number or it gets the hose.
Oh, she is cute.
Yeah. Let me find a better photograph here. Hold on a second.
I love you, baby.
Oh, no.
Not her.
I mean, you're talking to your wife.
You're creepy.
All right, hold on.
I'm so confused.
All right, hold on a second. Now, see, she asked if she could come, if she could, she's like, should I see Star Wars? You're like, I don't know, let me invite you.
Let's find out, baby.
Now, see, here's a photograph of her. Here's a more close-up photograph.
So, I have seen this photo before.
I've met her, actually. I met her at a listener event, and there's a photograph of her at a listener party with Clyde signing her buttocks.
I think I've met her also.
It's
a
quick little, like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, she's really hot.
Yeah.
She's really beautiful. So, she's really beautiful. She's 25.
Good enough. Quarter century. We can hit that.
She wants to spend her Saturday night with you.
Wants to spend her Saturday with someone who can teach her the Jedi ways, Aaron.
That's right. You know, and I think I might be alone Saturday night, too.
Would you... Not anymore. Would you like me to pass this along?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and do that? You can go ahead and send that to Aaron.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Really?
As Steven Tyler would say. All right.
Someone's found a Padawan.
She says, oh, wait, here we go. I'm the girl that wrote Ground Zero on her ass to win a trip with Clyde.
That went nowhere.
Yeah, well, that's because we got taken off the air, I think. Or maybe he just flaked. I don't know. All right, so there you go. I'll forward that email along to you.
She does need to know the ways of the Force.
Is there Mrs. Aaron?
There is no Mrs. Jenick.
My name is Warner Brandis.
Yeah. My name is my password.
All right, Scott Daly, hello, sir.
Hi. What the hell's going on?
Nothing.
What's happening in our commentary tomorrow?
I'm getting me a date. I don't know what you're doing.
I forwarded it to you. Have the email now.
You can go play with Mailman Chris. I'll play with Bobby.
Oh no, my wife will be there tomorrow.
Well, okay.
This is her first.
What are you
going to
be doing?
Hey.
Okay.
Question is, what are you going to be doing, Aaron?
Yes. Not important. Anyway, do you have a Pirates of the Caribbean review that we meant to get? How long do we have, Sarah?
20 seconds.
Review.
The movie is terrible. Don't watch it. It makes no sense. The story is lame. Keith Richards is only in it for 30 seconds.
It's ass.
Which is only like a minute less than Chiang Fat, isn't it?
And about 5 minutes more than that, or about 5 minutes less than Johnny Depp is in the movie.
Yeah.
All right. So big thumbs down.
The only reason to see this is the undead monkey, because monkeys are funny.
The undead monkey, and the effects look really, really great. If you can see it on a digital screen, it's cool on digital, but really it's not worth 3 hours of your time.
Fantastic.
It's not worth the $200 million it's going to make this weekend.
No, it's not. It's awful.
All right, thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
God bless you. All right, go to filmfeverradio.com to find out more, or geekinthecity.com, and if you are a hot, geeky girl who wants to be indoctrinated into the ways of the Force, then you definitely go to geekinthecity.com. Aaron at geekinthecity.com. All right. Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley. Our PA is Scotty J. And, of course, the gatekeepers, Dave Zinn. We're in the next scene, and radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, as well as Aaron Duran. We'll be here Monday, kids, live, because Rick Emerson cares. Until then, don't let the bastards grind you down, and do try to help the retarded. I raised $29 for the Special Olympics today. What did you do? We'll see y'all on Monday. Listen to Scotty J tomorrow, 9 to 11 on Miles Around. See y'all. Bye now.